This is Behind the Curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
Ooh, this one got weird. This was on, started Tuesday in the week. We capped it off Wednesday when we got a call from a woman who told us a tale about hearing her parents have sex in the room while she was in there. And then her mom realizing after she had cleansed and come back into the room, oh my gosh, my daughter was awake and heard it. And yeah, it's super, super gross.
I think what this might have spiraled into, maybe we'll get into it next week, was that was times you either walked in or your parents or parents had sex in the same room as you. Maybe we should do times as a parent you've walked in on...
Walked in on your offspring. I tell the tale, and I even turn it into like an act out on stage where my dad walked in on me when I'm like 16, 17 years old, and all he does is he walks in and doesn't like gasp and shut the door. He walks in and turns around.
This is a great story.
I was like, man, that's not helping. I'm not going to keep going. He just
stood there with his back turned. You guys go. So thinking about ordering some pizza. I love that joke.
Oh God, blessed hell. Yes, I love it. Next week we'll get into times that you walked in on your offspring to give the other side of that coin to what you're about to hear now when you heard or saw your parents hook up. Oh, Josh.
And we got into this. What?
I was going to say what we're getting into, that you're glad you missed this.
Oh. Yeah, we got into this yesterday, and it kind of spiraled out of control, so we figured we'd dedicate a couple of breaks to it today. 20% of parents been caught getting it on by their kids. So, right, we talked about that. And, you know, the excuses that the parents used. Cuddling, play fighting, tickling each other, moving around in bed. We were just trying to get out of bed. Oh, we were just making each other laugh. We were having an argument. Blah, 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 blah.
Your mom's got an onion ring wedged in her. I got to get it out.
At what age do most children become aware of what sex is?
8.
Yeah, I don't know.
8 is the age. Well,
I mean, Stella's, what, almost 5 now? She hasn't, like, mentioned anything about that, right?
No, thank God. I think that would be a little too early.
Jossie, what's happening down there? Where's Mommy? Make a waffle!
But then we got a text from a woman that said, she didn't walk in on her parents having sex. Her parents had sex in the same room as her.
Yeah. Josh, I'll give you the Cliff's notes. They stayed at grandma's house. There's a guest room, 3 beds, parents in 1 bed, she in another bed, sibling in another bed. And mom and dad got into the gin and tonics, I guess, and children be damned.
Well, they thought the kids were asleep.
They thought the kids were asleep and just decided to smash 15 feet away.
God.
Ugh. Yeah, and she said that it was a lot of her mother saying, no, the kids are going to wake up. No, the kids are going to wake up. And then her mom got up and went to the bathroom, saw that she was awake and was kind of mortified. And then the text just came flooding in.
It was horrible.
People whose parents have had sex, not even in the same room, just in a ridiculously close proximity to them. So one person said in the same tent. They were camping, and then they were in the same tent, and their parents had sex in the tent with the kid in the tent.
That's horrible.
And then Mike brought up the question that is this even legal?
Yeah, is that sexual impropriety? You're not
somebody
doing
texting
to
yesterday
kid.
With a long explanation. One of those long, you know, the contributing to the whatever of a minor and blah, blah, and it was a big long charge that could be brought against these people that insinuating that it is illegal.
And I told a tale that I once heard my mother with one of her ex-band member biker's stepfathers at the time just getting crushed in the other room. And it sort of sounded like a donkey had fallen down a well in the other room. Only way I could describe that lovemaking. Yeah, I was about 11 and really stuck with me for quite some time as I tried to go to sleep. After enjoying myself a little Super Mario World on the SNES, to hear a guy whose name I'm pretty sure was Scooter engage in a two-person Royal Rumble.
Does it matter that they were in a different room? I was going to say, might as well have been the same room, right?
It was... Imagine we are in Rick's office, and there's another gentleman here by the name of Chris Chmielewski. He's our Leonardo DiCaprio, and here's one... There's one. His people falling all over his ass. And there's, he's in the very next office.
Right.
That's how close it was when Scooter and old Ma Bell were in there having a no-holds-barred match. A no-disqualification match. And as I said, their lovemaking sounded like some large animal trapped in a small well.
Well, how about you, Spiegs? Did you ever hear your parents?
Did you, my headphones just cut off for a second. Did you, were you asking the best?
His headphones turned themselves off.
That's divine intervention.
That's divine intervention.
Oh, did I ever catch my parents?
Yeah, hear, yeah. At least hear them.
No, never. Never, ever, ever. So that is that rare? Did you guys?
I didn't know.
Well, this Scott said something funny yesterday that he was convinced that his parents have only had sex twice because it's just him and his brother.
I mean, it's hard enough watching your parents just kiss. Ugh. I can't imagine.
Especially my dad's face. My God, blessed hell. You don't want to kiss my face, much less that guy's. There's always like pieces of chickpea and pastrami in that beard.
Come here, give daddy a smooch.
Yeah, so the people checked in, and oh, a plot twist, the lady that we talked to about whose parents hooked up in the same room, and then mom goes to the bathroom, comes back in, later in life, did the same thing.
Yep, sure, the cycle continues.
In front of her children.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
She said it stuck with her for a long time. She was scarred. She's
we did the
since
math.
Over it. But
it was like 30-some years ago.
Well, she tells it now just as a fun story, and it's something that happened. But when she was younger, it stuck with her.
Hey, Mom, remember the time I got you guys right in front of me? Hey, the potato salad's running low.
And there's a difference between walking in on your parents, because at least they're in their room and they're trying to make an effort to be secret,
yeah,
and just smashing, knowingly smashing in the same room. As a child,
there is, I can't say the name of the site, but Mike, you know the website I'm talking about. It's the porn blooper site that begins with an E.
Oh, yeah.
There is a video on there that's so disgusting. And it is just of two people engaged in coitus. And the camera pans back and there is a crib in the room and just some kid just looking over the edge of the crib.
Oh. Eh, how old's the kid?
About two-ish. And but the lovemaking... And that's a stretch calling it lovemaking. I think someone tipped him off that there might be oil in her the way that he is going at it. And you're just like, oh, it was hot, and now there's this poor child that's watching this unfold.
So, whoa, text from Nicole L. You see that one, Mike? I can't even read that on the air.
Oh, let me see. Oh. Let me see. Which one is that? Is that right there? Oh, no.
You do not want to walk up on that.
Oh, I had an ex-girlfriend that walked in on her dad in a little bit of 12:30 time and walked right in the front door and almost zipped it off. Said he zipped up so quick he might as well have zipped it.
Some guy says he can't even perform the solo act if his dog is in the room, let alone kids.
Dogs have such judgmental eyes. I mean, Josh, you have to evacuate.
I have to close the door. I can't let my dog in the room.
You got Farfel staring at you the whole time.
And he'll jump up on the bed.
Need help?
Oh. Yeah, a new survey found that 20% of parents have been caught in the act by their kids. Talked about this briefly yesterday, got a bunch of texts, actually had a really long in-depth phone call with a woman who, when she was a child, her parents had sex in the same room as her, thought she was asleep, and it basically traumatized her for her entire life.
She remembered it 30 years later and called to tell us the tale, and only to tell her that she continued that practice by then having sex in front of her children. Not like gathering them into the living room. Like, all right, everyone, crisscross applesauce. It's time to watch Mom and Dad in front of you guys. Like, just... And as we got talking about this, you know, I've been having a laugh this morning. Ha ha, I heard my mom and stepdad also. But it's... The memories are slowly peeling away under a layer of brain fog.
Like an onion.
And I remember that it wasn't just loud. It was vocal. And,
Who was more, which
Abby
party?
Mom.
Mom was the vocal one.
Yep. And Mike, I'm going to hold up. And we can just get the live our cameras off like of this.
Oh, yeah, right there. Right there.
God, man, I wish you were wrong.
Oh, yeah.
God, I wish you were wrong.
Right there.
Mike, I'm going to. She said that.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Who
says
that?
My mom.
Let me see.
All right, just...
Wait.
Yep.
Blank.
Yep.
It.
Blank.
It's not even good sentence structure.
I mean, when you're in the middle of having sex, you're not really all that eloquent. You're just
wow,
sort of,
that's an
it's an awful sentence. It's
awful
such
sentence.
An awful sentence to hear. It's like, I'm just trying to go to bed. Stop doing that.
I thought of a good one. Well, not thought of it, but I remembered a good one during the break. My friend recounted to me back in high school. We lived right across the street. And he said he was driving home one day, forgot something, and came back like 30 minutes later. And as he came up the driveway, his headlights went right through the living room, and there were his parents. Dude, he said he saw his mom's boobs bouncing as she ran upstairs.
Oh, no. Oh, they thought he was gone for the night. It just lit the entire darkness of a living room up, and there's Dad all turgid and moist. Ugh, yuck. Josh, would you like to read what she said?
Sure.
You sure?
Okay.
I've copied that. All right. Again, Livewire, get off of me.
Yeah, don't show this on Livewire.
That's upside down.
Oh, there we go. Let me turn it up. Right there.
Oh. Okay, wow. Yeah. I've never heard that before.
Yeah, it's a weird, weird phrase.
Yeah, it usually happens right towards the end. Yeah, I think it happened right at the end. Because I know moments later, that's when her cries ended and mine began.
Some texts we got coming in here. I'll just go over these briefly, and then we'll head to the phones. 410-338-1098, 410-338-1098. First step, Dad had an RV, woke up to my mom. Oh, I can't even say it. Woke up to my mom in what I consider to be the one of the most premier porn positions, because it doesn't really happen.
Missionary under the sheet?
No, no, no. This is the one that the porn stars like really like to do, because it provides a good vantage point.
Yes.
And it's not a cowboy, but
Mike, would you like to mimic it with me?
Yeah, let's.
No, sure. Let's not do that. That's bad. I know exactly what it is.
Woke up to, yeah, they were doing it in a really raucous position.
Oh, God.
Nothing like hearing your gay dads having sex.
Oh, wow.
That's a tweet.
I mean,
that we got,
hey.
Or text.
That's it. Get it!
Oh, boy. Yeah.
I was raised by my grandparents. I walked in on them. We had a half day of school. They had forgotten, so I walk in the front door, and there they are getting it on right in the kitchen, right where I eat my Cheerios every morning. Grandparents.
Oh, yeah.
When I was probably 12 or so, I was camping with my parents in our trailer, and my parents were getting it on in the other side of the camper. Definitely something that sticks with you.
I never saw my grandparents hook up, but we did get photographs developed once. Where my grandmother was definitely in a nighty, and my grandfather was lying in bed from the waist up, wearing nothing. It was like a still shot. I'm like, I think you guys were photographing each other doing it.
That's the next text we got. What about finding photographs, naked porn photos of your parents? Permanent mental image. That is from Ashley.
God, I mean, homemade porn's fun, but when it's your blood relative, hard pass. We're going to start with Mike. You said line three, correct?
Yeah,
all right.
Good one.
We're going to start with line three. Cody, all the way from Metro City, fighting off the mad gear. Cody, good morning.
What's going on, fellas? Love the show.
Love
Get
you,
me
Cody.
Through the day.
Thank you, sir.
Hey, man, I was up on a hunting trip with some family, right, and talking about the gay dads. I found out my dad was gay very, very quick. Now, I accept him and all that, and it's all love and greatness in my family, but, you know, we're up from north up in Canada, but... So we're up there hunting, and we're in this little cabin, me and my dad and this guy, John, who I've always considered an uncle growing up. But, you know, we're in a tiny cabin. I hear some rustling. You know, we're out in the woods, so I wake up, flip the lights on, and they were doing a little two-man do-si-do in the bedroom.
Wow.
Wake up and
really?
See that. Yow.
Oh,
and
how
did, what happened like the next day or the ensuing weeks,
not even
months,
next
years?
Day, man. Five minutes later. I walked out, and they came out, and, you know, hand on the shoulder, don't touch me. Man, my dad got a divorce from my mom. Family got all tore up.
Oh, wow, so your dad was married to mom, and uncle was a closer friend.
That's when it came out. They've been talking for 10 years.
So they've been talking. Did he come out to you, like, immediately that night? Like, look, son.
Yeah. My dad's been married three times, and it was the fourth wife, man, and that was it.
Oh, yeah, he was gay.
Oh, wow. Thank you for the call.
Wow.
It's not gay if it's just you on the road getting your needs met. Let's go to Trish in Brooklyn. Trish, what's up, my sweet?
Hello, good morning.
Good morning.
Hello.
So, like, when I was, like, 10 years old, right, this was back in the day when we didn't have a lot of money, so... We had one air condition in my mom and dad's bedroom, so
right.
I slept on the floor in, like, a sleeping bag.
Yep.
So they went upstairs before me, and I was like, you know what? I'm really tired. They told me not to come to bed, but I'm going to go. So I go up there, and I crack the door open, and my mom's yelling, get out! shut the door. And my dad's like all on top of my mom, and I'm like, okay. And I come in real quiet, and I shut the door behind him, and I got in the sleeping bag and lay down. My mom's like, no, seriously, get out.
Oh.
I didn't know what they were doing at that
age. You know what they were doing.
Wow.
They were getting their love on. Let's talk to... Oh, man. What's worse than walking in on your parents once? Sam has the answer to that. Sam, good morning.
Good morning. How are you guys?
How are you doing, love?
I'm good. So this actually wasn't me. My brother is not exactly an intelligent fella.
Welcome.
My parents, when we were home and they wanted to have sex, they would actually lock us out of the house.
Nice.
Wow.
Prevent you from
just put you outside and lock all the doors.
Go spend time in the forest.
Yeah.
Get outside.
I want to be in here.
I don't have shoes. Get outside now.
But I had a bad habit of forgetting my keys, so I knew how to pick locks.
Ah.
So I taught my brother how to pick locks. He actually picked the lock and walked straight into my parents' bedroom.
Nice.
And then less than a week later, did the exact same thing.
So did you come to realize that when your parents were throwing you outside and locking the door, what was going on?
I didn't know exactly, but I suspected it.
Yeah.
Oh, God. You got a little lock pick over there.
Yeah, I mean, that's not their fault. They took precautions. They locked you out of the damn house, for Christ's sake.
Jill Valentine over here, the master of lockpicking. Let's take one more. We'll go to Dave in Baltimore, who's been holding for quite some time. Dave, good morning. Thank you for holding.
Hey, how you doing?
How you doing, buddy?
Slight twist on this. My girlfriend at the time heard me and her mother in the other room.
Wait, so your girlfriend heard you hooking up with her mom in the other room.
Yes.
You banged your girlfriend's mom.
Yes.
Didn't hit the right button.
Oh, hit it again. Okay, got it.
I don't know what you hit. What's the green one?
I don't know what that is. Green. I hit the one named... No.
Oh, you did?
Okay. Yeah, I hit the red one. So, anyways, thank you for all the horrifying incestuous calls.
We now take you behind the curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
Coming up, you're going to hear a Josh Spiegel childhood memory, brand new, all about a desk. And we'll let the break speak for itself and the memory contained therein and the after effects of. What is it about the fresh batch forthcoming? Where did these come from? Because Mike, you'll hear coming up, says that this isn't the only one. There's other stuff coming down the pike where there's three or four or five or six even waiting for us. Where do these come from?
I've just been jogging my memory, thinking about my childhood from time to time, because I'm trying to, I want to share these horrific memories. I want everyone to feel the horror.
Misery loves company.
Yeah.
Trying to bring us into that web of tragedy. Or do you find yourself feeling a little happier, a little more, I don't know, a little lighter after you unload these?
It's actually the other day when I said something which wasn't part of the horrible memory. It was just an off-the-cuff horrible memory.
Okay.
And I did feel better. It's cathartic.
Yes.
You know, to get it off your chest.
You had to have felt better about the one coming up, too, because you were like, oh, my God, it was my dad, this maniacal taskmaster, who, when he did what he did, you'll hear coming up. But then everybody in the world started checking in about their parents doing similar stuff.
That surprised me. That did surprise me. And it did make me feel much better.
See? We were all abused.
For several minutes.
We were all abused.
Coming up, Josh Spiegel's horrible childhood memory involving... the dirty desk. Josh Spiegel's horrible childhood memories. We've been doing these for about a year now, year and a half, I believe.
Probably
longer than that.
God,
yeah.
Maybe even 2 years, yeah. Josh bearing his soul in a way never before bared. And there's a fresh batch. And Mike, you said this one that we're about to play was different than the others because...
I thought, like, a lot of these Spiegel childhood memories are things that probably wouldn't affect your average individual as much as it affects Spiegel.
The
not
above
to take anything
average.
Away from, you know, not to, you know, minimalize the effects on Spiegel. They're definitely there.
Mm-hmm.
but this one would affect, I think, anybody.
All right. So here we go. This is a new Josh Spiegel childhood memory. I'm already laughing.
And now, another horrible memory from Spiegel's childhood.
My father got mad at me because I didn't clean up the mess on my desk. He'd had enough of my procrastinating. So he flipped over my desk and sent all of my papers and books on the floor. He yelled, "Clean that up!
Clean that up!"
And then left my room as I stood there shaking.
This has been another horrible memory from Spiegel's childhood.
Oh, boy. Yep. Mike, you didn't undersell it.
Okay, good, good.
Okay.
Wow. Glad wow. I'm not the only one that thought that.
Wow. Okay. Some of the other stuff. Let's recap. Going to a barbecue. Not going to a barbecue. Sister goes in the other room. Gets sick. Kind of screws up your dining. The walk with your dad where he was completely silent. All things are like, oh, I could see how maybe that rattle Spiegel a little bit. Dad walks into the room. Clean it up! And flips a desk?
Yeah, that's right.
Did he have a temper?
Yeah, he had a temper.
Oh, we've talked about it. Remember, who was it that wouldn't... Stevie Wonder wouldn't sign?
Right. Well, at that point, he didn't have a temper with that, but he got mad because he was at an airport and he spotted Stevie Wonder walking and with a handler. And he asked to, I guess he just wanted to say hello to Stevie Wonder.
He was waving at Stevie.
And Stevie would not say hello to him. He wouldn't reply. So he for the rest of his life, he resented Stevie Wonder.
Oh.
Yeah, that's not really temper. That's
well,
like
I just
grudge.
Remember Josh saying that he said that Stevie Wonder should rot in hell.
Yes, yeah, he did say
bitch.
That. Yeah, he did say okay. that. Yeah,
yep, he did tell. Yeah. Now it's all coming back to me. Celine Dion, your dad definitely told Stevie Wonder, blind musician of note, to burn in hell.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So, I don't know. How old were you when he flipped the desk?
Probably about. 10 or 11.
Yeah, that's traumatic. I was going to say, if you're a teenager and you're like 15, 16, 17, you're just a lazy slob.
I'm not
you probably,
cleaning up my
yeah,
desk.
Yeah, you probably deserve to get your desk. You're not going to clean it?
Get out!
Like a 10-year-old? Oh, man, that's tough.
Yeah, boy. And it's in your room, correct?
Yeah.
So it wasn't like in a public space where people would have to walk past this filthy desk. It was privately in your room.
It was in my room near the closet where inside the closet I had a giant rubber Incredible Hulk, which I squeezed and stretched so much it burst. And this glue type of material seeped out of it.
Yeah, like the Stretch Armstrong.
Yeah, and I left it on the floor of the closet, which was carpeted. The floor was carpeted.
Okay.
And to this day, probably, the floor is still ruined.
It's covered in that noxious goop.
Yeah.
Do you know the strength required to rip one of those things is almost strongman-esque?
Well, I either stretched it too hard or maybe I mutilated it at one point.
So, oh, you mutilated?
Maybe. I don't know for sure.
Okay. Did I happen to mention you look very nice today?
Thank you.
No worries.
Wow. Well, did you cry when he flipped the desk?
I don't think so. I was just sort of shocked that happened and spent the next, I don't know, half hour, picking up everything off the floor.
How dirty was the desk?
Well, it wasn't really dirty. It was just messy.
It was disheveled. So, yeah, it wasn't like old food.
It wasn't organized. Yeah.
Now, after something like this, would your father later come up to you like, "Hey, sorry, I kind of overacted earlier. But, look, just keep
I
your desk clean."
Okay. And the Chevitz wine.
Yeah, probably shouldn't have flipped the desk.
No,
I apologize.
Sometimes.
What about in this instance?
I don't really remember. I don't think he did.
Where's mom at right now? Is she co-signing on this, or is she calm down?
No, yeah, she would try to calm him, and I think she was probably downstairs.
Did the house fall deathly quiet after that?
Yes, it did fall deathly
quiet. And
just the quiet sound of utensils hitting plates at dinner, no one saying anything.
And the rustling of the papers that I was picking up off the floor in my room.
Wow. Papers that would one day be scrawled with a manifesto.
But now, was your dad of sound body and mind when he did this?
Yeah, yeah, he was of sound body and mind. He just, you know, he was very organized, very neat. He wanted everything a certain way, and if it wasn't, then there'd be problems.
Yeah, apparently.
Open your eyes.
Oh, man. Wow. Damn. The only thing I can recall my dad ever doing similar to this is we had an area rug in our living room that we would sometimes have too many video game things on and toys and stuff. And he would ask us to clean it up and we wouldn't. We're kids. And I remember him once when we were in our bedrooms, I guess he rolled up the carpet with everything in there and went in our rooms and like a tube full of our own mess came in and dumped it onto our room, right onto us. And he had every right to. But him to flip your desk like that.
Yeah. So, I mean, how violently did he flip it, too? Was it, like, with all of his might, or did he... like the Hulk, or did he just, like, tip it over?
Well, he... Did I say he flipped it?
Yeah.
I think he just threw everything off of it. Like, I don't know. Maybe he flipped it. This is decades ago.
You know what I've always wanted to do is the use your hand to clear off
the
table.
Yeah, that's what
thing.
I think that's what he
so
did.
Oh, so he didn't actually flip the furniture.
I don't think so.
He cleaned off the
now
top
the
of it.
The story is ruined.
No, it's not.
Cancel it all.
See, it's even more insane.
Yeah.
There, now it's clean.
Yeah, because he had been asking me for quite some time to clean my desk, and I just didn't.
What do I get?
Ooh. A clean desk. Now, how has that affected the cleanliness of your desk, which I will walk by from time to time, and it's as organized as can be? You've got some personal effects on there, but it's never out of place.
Here the desk is fine. It's pretty easy to keep clean. My desk at home is a total mess.
Like, if your dad were to walk into your house right now, what do you think he'd say?
Oh, he would be upset. He would say, you know, why don't you clean up? When are you going to get married?
Oh,
is this wall red?
Yeah.
Was this a whorehouse?
Yes.
This is Behind the Curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
Earlier this week, had a conversation about sketchy hookups. No, not the person, but more the environment. You go on a date, things are great, you go back to whoever's place, and then they have white supremacy memorabilia all over the walls, or the bed is covered in lice and ticks, or there's a dead dog in the microwave, and you're like, I'm not sure if this slice is worth it or not. And there were some pretty gross ones. I'd like to think, you know, I got a friend of mine named Tim Miller, who's a comedian. He says that a man's sex drive never diminishes. His willingness to hook up does. You'll hear me make the joke about I won't cross state lines anymore for ass and all that. My sex drive is still there. But if I see stuff now, say I was single, that I was like, I don't think I'm into that. 18-year-old Justin doesn't care. He scoots the human organs off the bed. He has sex on the dirty pile of laundry. He lets the cockroaches crawl all over him while it happens.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think if I had any sketchy, I don't think I really did. I was just trying to think of also, like females coming into my space or spaces that I had been
were
around.
Were we the sketchy hookup?
Right, yeah, like not just going outwards, I'm thinking inwards. And like my room was never really gross, but I had a friend in college who would pee in Gatorade bottles because he was too lazy to walk to the bathroom.
Oh, yeah, you told us about this.
And it's like, I don't think he ever really had girls over, but like imagine bringing a girl back to your room and like there's pee bottles everywhere. It's like, what the?
Yeah, I remember I went on a date in my old place and nothing ever happened. We never hooked up. But this girl and I, we go back to my place, and this was the place where everything was a transformer on every wall. It was 3D wallpaper, my friends called it. And she walks in and goes, oh my. And you could see, like, I guess I never brought that up at dinner. Oh, yeah. Hey, by the way, I'm a 31-year-old man that has 5,000 toys on every conceivable surface of my house. And you could just see her mood change immediately to where it went from, a couple of drinks and watching a movie on the couch to, I'll have one for the road.
Yeah, I think I got to, I'm not feeling well.
No, I want to show you my Starscream limited edition. Boy.
Imagine
the story she told the next day. You're never going to believe this dork. Like
the whatever the hell I'm trying to say, like her brain must have just been ablaze with. She walks into that. You know how alarming that must have been to a young female.
Mm-hmm. This guy's definitely going to transform me into a sex slave.
One of Augie's friends is newly single, and she was over the other night, and she's, of course, on all the dating apps dating sites and stuff.
Really?
Tell us more.
But to watch how picky women get to be on these sites was nauseating. I was sickened. Like, she was turning guys... She turned a guy down because he proposed that they have a Shaq cream soda with whipped cream vodka when she came over. And I'm like, that sounds awesome.
That sounds really delicious.
You're turning the guy down because he wanted to drink Shaq soda and whipped cream Smirnoff?
And what's your girlfriend doing? Is she co-signing on all these?
I'm not sure what her take was on that one.
Oh, she's high-fiving her.
Your girlfriend, is very woke and forward thinking.
She's
so she like, hey, come on, don't be so tough on the guy. She totally like,
I don't remember what she said about it.
Yeah, sure, you don't. You just don't want to.
I met her on a dating site and I had the
Buck
weirdest.
Buck is leaning over and high fiving her and yeah, sister, screw that guy in his offer of sweet,
but
delicious
it's just
cocktails.
More, I was on a dating app for a long time and just had zero success, but it just made me sick because I know how hard I tried and like was how unsuccessful I was, and how these girls can just be as picky as they want to be. It just made me sick.
Hear about it now. Sketchy hookups on Behind the Curtain.
We're going to talk sketchy hookups. Mike told a great story yesterday about going back to a house back in the day of a female and being almost sledgehammered in the face by the stench of ammonia.
Ugh.
Come on in, boys.
To the point where his eyes were burning. We've all been there.
Yeah, it was so strong. I was like, did she just bleach her hair?
Oh, and it was just then you started to notice one cat, two cats, three cats, four cats, five
nine
cats.
And they're crawling all over everything.
Yeah, they're
walking across the stove.
They're on the stove. They're on the countertop. They're on the couch. They're on the table. It's just like, this is where you eat. Cats should not be walking across the way. So you had an eye burning, a pneumonia smell.
Now, with that said, you definitely still. definitely right.
Not confirm or deny what happened.
Oh, yeah, that's a yes.
Beyond that point.
Yeah, Mike still crushed it.
It was a dark period of my life.
Breathed through his mouth the whole time.
Yeah, you were a free single man. You're able to do what you wanted. It's okay.
Yeah. We're going to make this quick one. All right.
Yeah, it went hogging.
Easy.
Oh, come
easy.
On.
It's 2018.
I'm kidding.
It is no longer an acceptable term.
Oh, my God. Damn it, Michael.
Nothing is an acceptable term anymore.
Nothing is acceptable. Be sure to email us 98triggered@hearst.fu.
And then we had the discussion about Craigslist maybe last week.
And the woman that called.
And the woman said that she went on Craigslist to find love and it for a dating service, and we're like, that's Craigslist, man. Like, there's only, and she went out with this guy a bunch of times and went back to his apartment, and he had just his house or his apartment was just covered with Nazi memorabilia.
Oh, no,
yeah,
really?
Like mannequins dressed up like the Fuhrer.
Yeah,
like it wasn't even like, okay, maybe this guy's a World War II historian.
No, there was
one side he was really into, and it wasn't the Allies.
Oh, no.
Yeah, he wasn't like into Charlie Chaplin mustaches. This guy was into Das Fuhrer.
Oh my God.
She's like,
God.
Wait a minute. You and I went and had endless apps at TGI Fridays, and now I'm coming back here and finding out that you cosplay as Himmler. I'm getting out of here. And Scott, you made, I think, probably the most common but the most upsetting example of coming home if you're a guy. And I don't know why I'm so unsettled by it, but I have wandered home to it, is the 5,000 stuffed animals.
In
a grown woman's bed. And that's it's hypocritical of me, because let's just say I was a single swinging
guy. You got all them stupid toys.
You come home and you just see a Toys R Us Transformers aisle. You're like, oh, this guy's going to definitely harvest my organs.
Yeah.
So I know that I sound like I'm a hypocrite, but yeah, I see 1,000 Beanie Babies on your bed and no room for me to lay you down upon. I'm probably going to go see if my lift is still out front.
Yeah, some of the turnoffs for men, if you get to a woman's apartment, is they have a roommate and the roommate is their ex. Yeah, that's bad.
Pregnancy test in the trash.
Oh.
What does that say about her?
Oof. Oh, have you ever seen that? The bedroom that is completely clean, the living room pretty well organized, and then the bathroom swill.
Ooh.
The toilet is a dark shade of hazelnut. Why are all the rags in the dustbin yellow? That sink has got barnacles on it. Is that toothbrush gone in your mouth? Or clean up the dog's because that thing's disgusting.
Ooh.
I'm not interacting with that mouth.
Dirty pets or pet enclosures. That's what we talked about with Mike. Person has more than one roommate. That depends on what stage of life it's on. I watched a show the other day. Can't remember what it was called. It was about Tinder. It was a Netflix series about like love or something. And they focused on this guy who lives in Las Vegas, and he's like 41 years old, and all he, and he he's like,
swipe right,
maybe, and he's like a party promoter, and all he's 41, and he's a party promoter, and he's eternally single, and all he does all day long is just swipe, and have hookups, and you're like, ah, man. Then you see the guy's like bedroom, and you're like, ah, dude, like this guy's 41, like
you're on a box spring,
like okay, great, you're like banging a bunch of chicks, but you're like a loser. Yeah, and then later on, in
you
the,
want a monster energy.
Then later on in the special, there's two girls standing in his kitchen. He's standing there talking to him. You're like, well, who are these girls? And they go, oh, and then at the bottom of the screen says Jeff's roommates. It's like, okay, so you're 41, you have two roommates, your bedroom looks like a, you know. You got milk crates for furniture.
God.
And then you're on this special bragging about how you're just swiping right and banging chicks. It's like, who cares? You're a loser.
Yeah, your home life is garbage. I don't think any of these Tinder hookups are going to be there to mourn your passing one day when you finally succumb to that unfightable strain of gonorrhea that you definitely have.
Yeah, so more than one roommate might be a turnoff. Dirty dishes, mattress on the floor.
Yes.
Get a freaking frame.
I judge you if your mattress is on the floor, and if it's, and if there's a level of moisture to it. You ever lie on a bed before and you're like, I don't know if this thing's totally
feels
dry.
Damp.
Yeah,
feels damp.
It's got a bit of a murk to it.
What?
I had the dirtiest roommate ever in college, and he ate constantly. To the point where I looked in his bed one day, and there's potato chips like strewn about the bed.
Ew.
God. And we had rats.
There was a big fat kid that we knew in college who passed out on the toilet, and he had his wallet sitting on the sink. I swear to God, to you, on my life, you opened up his wallet and there was a Kraft single in there.
Oh, my God.
Dude, he had Kraft singles in his wallet.
No.
I swear to God. 100%. I can get my friends to co-sign that story.
Oh, my God. I need to believe you.
His name was Jerry. I know exactly. It's a fact.
Mr. Cheese, they called him. Old single slice Jer Bear. Oh, my God, that's funny.
Dead plants, weapons on display, drug paraphernalia. All these are signs of getting back to someone's apartment or house, and it's going to be a sketchy hookup.
Yeah. It's going good. The drinks are wet. The alcohol is heavy. She's giving you them eyes. Maybe a text is sent while she's in the bathroom. You want to get out of here? Yeah, I want to get out of here. I'm like a mile away. You park the car, you head upstairs, and that's when you see it. Oh, my God. There's 1,000 photos of you already on the wall. Well, she's been planning this. She made a hair doll of you. I have your favorite scented candle already. I knew that this is what you'd like. You're going to live with me forever. You hear the deadbolted door, and the next thing you know, you're strung up by hooks from the ceiling.
Here's a good one from a texter that's very kind of like that.
The sketchy hookup.
Medicute girl. At a concert in college, no red flags, other than she was by herself. She said she couldn't find her friends. We go back to her place. Her dorm room is, in all caps, covered with Tinkerbell stuffed animals, bed comforter, framed pictures. It's everywhere. Then she pulls out a Tickle Me Elmo, proceeds to play with the damn thing, and cackle hysterically for 15 minutes.
No.
I left and ran into the wall looking over my shoulder. He bolted out of that place as fast as possible.
Oh, my God. You get home.
This is tainted. I don't want it. Whatever it is, it's tainted. Whatever it is you're giving me, I give it up to God. I'm a God warrior.
I'm about to bust.
So weird. 410-338-1098. What you came home to. Let's start with... Oh, I know Candace on line one. Candace, good morning, and good morning to your beautiful, beautiful partner, Colin. Am I correct?
Yes. Good morning, Justin.
Good morning. Candace, for those that don't know, is one of our many delightfully beautiful female Asian listeners.
Oh.
A number that's growing daily, and Candace is a big part of that.
Yes. So I went out on a date, and I'm Asian, as you mentioned, and I didn't know that he had studied East Asian studies in college, and when I got back to his room, the walls, there were sculptures, paintings, scroll-type pictures. I mean, the thing was covered in East Asian historic memorabilia, garb, and he had a sensei.
And he had a what?
He had a what?
Sensei.
What's that?
It's like one of those wax melts.
Okay. And so what is the problem?
Varies.
He had no idea he studied East Asian studies.
He was an Asianophile.
You were like a
conquest. You're part of his interest. It's like if I tried to have sex with a robot, that makes sense because all I want to do is be a transformer and be with a transformer.
But did you find that like flattering or was it creepy that he was like so into Asians and you were just kind of?
It was really creepy because there was no telling the entire night. And then I opened the door and it hit you. And it was kind of freaky.
And he was just a normal white guy? What was he?
Yeah. No, he was just a typical Caucasian guy. I mean, no red flags. He had a job. Everything seemed normal from the outside. And then I walk in and he looks at me and he's like, by the way, East Asian studies was my major in college.
Oh, by the way, this is where you live now.
Yeah.
There's a picture of Candace, by the way. Smoke show.
Let's see.
Smoke show.
Oh, I think I know Candace.
Yeah, she and her...
Hi.
Yes.
Who's that guy?
Hi.
11 out of... Oh, she's still on the phone. Damn it. Yeah. Hey, Candace, have a great day. Tell Colin I said hello. All 6'5" of them. Yeah, they came to a couple of our events. Yeah, Mike, one more time. Let's go to Zach in Middle River. Zach, good morning. Sketchy hookups.
Good morning. This isn't really sketchy, but she did wind up being my wife. But the first time that I went to her apartment and we had sex, we pulled those covers down and she had candy strewn all across her bed, like Nailators, Jolly Ranchers.
Oh, hmm.
Under her pillow, she had a bag of gummy bears.
What?
The
candy itself or just the wrappers?
No, the candy in the wrappers.
Why?
Like in the middle of the night, she just wakes up and eats candy.
Oh, did you a trick or treat her or something? What? That's weird. Ugh. Oh, Willy Wonka over here. Yuck. All right, here we go. Ugh, this is gross. Seth in Essex, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Better than you.
Yeah. So years ago, and this story is really full of detail, but I'll keep it as short and sweet as I possibly can. Years ago, I went to this girl's house. We were chilling or whatever, and she actually invited me to play Madden. I think it was the Madden where Bolden was on the team.
Okay.
So I'm playing her. I'm destroying her. So finally, I started noticing something. I'm like, wait a minute. Anquan Bolden is moving in a route that I did not choose, and it just so happens to be that Anquan Bolden turned into a roach on the screen.
Oh.
So, she turns the lights on. I see the parting of the Red Sea. There's thousands of I looked at her. She looked at me. We both knew right then and there that this wasn't going to happen, so I just left.
Oh my God. Infestation.
How hot does she have to be for you to just forge ahead?
I mean,
to be
Scarlett Johansson with like a pet rat on her shoulder. Oh, God.
Somebody hooked up with a girl who had a new apartment. Upon arriving there was a heavy smell of spray paint. She told me that she wasn't allowed to paint the walls since it was a rental, so she spray painted them.
What?
She spray painted her walls.
She spray painted her walls.
This is bad, yeah.
Whoa. Now let's go to Jess in Charlestown. Enjoy the slots. Jess, good morning.
Good morning.
Hey.
Hello.
Hi,
Jess. Hey. So you guys are talking about the 41-year-old with the mattress on the floor, crate furniture, how that's just not sexy. How about he lives with his mother and he's 48?
Ooh. Let me guess.
Why are you even dating this guy?
Did he pitch it as a roommate? He pitched it as a roommate, right? I just live with this old broad. That's my roommate.
No. No, I didn't know anything about the roommate or the mother or anything else. It was my house, my this, my that. It was actually his old mother's house, and he lives with her, 48 years old.
We got to keep it down so it don't wake Mammy. We got to keep it down so it don't wake Mammy.
Was there any kind of excuse that might, like, is the mom sick? Does he take care of the mom? Is it anything like
hospice
that?
Hospice or something?
Yeah. No, I mean, he's divorced and had to start over, but he divorced, like, 6 years ago. So,
it's a long start.
48 years old. You've got time to get this fixed.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you. You should have been back on your feet by then. Yeah. And let's turn this down and turn up the weird and talk to Mark in Baltimore with a strange tale to tell. Mark, good morning.
Good morning. How you guys doing?
Hi.
Hello.
So pretty much it wasn't so much what they had. It's an action that they asked me to perform. So I met this girl. We hung out a couple times. We ended up at some friend's house. Started hooking up a little bit. And she asked me to put my fingers in between the webs of her toes. He got enjoyment out of it. Like, it was almost like an orgasm.
Like, you were cleaning out the cheese between her toes. She enjoyed that feeling?
Yeah, all four fingers between all four webs all at the same time. And she had, like, small foot. I'm kind of like, I got large hands. So, like, it was, like, not easy to get through, you know? I had to actually, like, put pressure and actually, like, penetrate. It was kind of weird.
And it got her going?
Yeah, she loved it.
Hell yeah, dude. What's the problem?
I just imagine you're down there and you're pulling out all these little bits of Velveeta and toe Swiss.
Did she have nice feet? Clean feet?
I mean, they weren't terrible. I mean, it's not something I would do on the regular or ever again.
Stop it.
Yeah, did you guys hook up? Did you do it?
Oh, of course.
Oh, there you go. Well, that's all that matters.
It's time to go behind the curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
So we have our prom coming up on May 11th. It's going to be great. It's going to be a second chance for a lot of people. We're going to decorate Jimmy's Famous Seafood, the host of our prom, to look like a high school gymnasium prom. And, you know, there's going to be some dancing. There's going to be a performance from Lil Peen. There's going to be prom king, prom queen. Josh is going to be the principal. Scott's going to be the coach. I hope you have a whistle and you're blowing it in people's ears. And I'm going to be the effeminate guidance counselor that tells everyone to believe in their dreams, full well knowing they won't be achieved. Mike, is there any kind of role you'd want to play there, bud? I had this fantasy. When you get behind the curtain, I had this fantasy of you being an expelled student that crashes the prom and there's a fight. There's no good prom without a fight.
Yeah.
Or maybe you should be like the dirt bag that stands in the corner.
Oh, yeah. You're the third-year senior.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, you got the black gloves. You almost look like that bully from the second season of Stranger Things.
Or much like my own prom, maybe I'm the kid that pitches a tent while slow dancing.
Jesus.
And embarrasses himself.
Well, we're trying to get Josh to slow dance, not to not slow dance, because of your prosthetic erection, though I do love that. Did we all have our proms at our high schools? Were they at your high schools or were they off-site?
No.
Mine was at the high school.
The junior was at the high school, but then the senior, you went to like this fancy place.
See, I always hear about that, and I get so effing jealous.
Yeah, dude, it's a freaking ballroom. I mean,
ours sucked, though, dude. Our gymnasium stunk. Our gymnasium smelled like a gymnasium. It was not good.
I mean, it's a freaking ballroom. It's like, whatever. Proms suck. They're stupid. They're overrated.
Not good.
You can't. I mean, obviously, you shouldn't be drinking, but you almost need to drink to enjoy something of that nature.
What a great point. You're going to be able to drink at our prom the same way you weren't allowed to or had to do secretly in the bathroom out of your dad's stolen flask.
Every year, there's always like six or seven kids that you'd see getting escorted into police cars.
Yeah, much like the girl you'll hear coming up that you tell us a tale about that you actually got in a bit of a back and forth with her father.
Oh,
the condition that she returned from your prom, Mike Anderson. Coming up, tragic prom memories on Behind the Curtain.
We're talking proms, baby. Yeah, we got the JSS prom coming up. Jimmy's Famous Seafood, May 11th. 8 p.m. to midnight, going to be a good time, I guess. We're going to all kind of assume roles.
We're gonna make it as close to the cliche movie prom as it could possibly 100%.
Be. 100%. You're going to think John Hughes got involved in this, son of a bitch. You're going to wait for Molly Ringwald to come prancing her fine ass out there. You're going to wait for Ducky to be waiting for her at the steps.
I'll be the gym coach. I'm going to need a pair of gray sweats.
I'm
going to
be
whistle.
The very effeminate guidance counselor, and that's going to be the man over there. A one principal Josh Spiegel making sure you're dancing a minimum of 12 inches apart.
Yeah, I'm disciplining in everybody.
Everyone.
In
I need you
bathroom.
To walk around with a ruler. Whoa, I wouldn't do that. I would probably walk around with a ruler, crack some knuckles.
Yeah.
Yeah. DJ Matt Davis is going to have the tunes, and we want you to come. JimmysFamousSeafood.com. Tickets are on sale tomorrow at 10 a.m. Limited tickets, by the way. This thing's going to sell out even quicker than Uncensored does. Because we all in here had either not great or straight up bad proms.
That's the thing. Either not great, right? Just kind of it happened.
Yeah, yeah.
Or it was bad. Who's the person where the prom was this magical thing?
Great point.
What is it? Is it ever magical for anybody?
Did you meet your forever guy, your forever girl?
Stop.
Hell no. You gave birth in the bathroom and then went out to dance again.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to give away a prom king, prom queen.
Mike, what was yours? Did we talk about yours? Did you go?
I went to my junior prom, and it was so terrible I never went back my senior.
You didn't go as a senior, huh?
My prom date ended up, we were supposed to go to the they always have those designated parties at like a firehouse or something to keep you from drinking. But of course, we didn't go to that. We got wasted.
Yeah.
And she got super wasted to the point where she's naked in the front yard in the grass.
Whoa. Haven't heard this story.
That's the best prom
Come
ever.
On, dude.
Give up the goose.
Hold down.
She doesn't want me to take her home because her parents will find out she's drunk, obviously. So I have to take her to her grandparents' place.
I love you.
They obviously found out. Then I went to go hang out with her like a couple weeks later, and her dad confronts me at the front door. Like,
you got my daughter drunk before.
Jess came back here the other night in a certain way.
You got my daughter drunk before the prom.
Let's make sure that doesn't happen again, okay?
Wow.
All right?
Did she pin it on you? She was like, Mike made
I'm
me
like,
drink
look,
it.
What am I hurt? I'm not a, what is this, 1920? I'm in charge of your daughter now? Look, I didn't force her to drink a 30 shots of vodka.
She's a modern-ass woman.
You didn't say any of that, though, did you?
Of course not. He looked like, who was that first baseman? Rafael Palmeiro. He looked exactly like Rafael Palmeiro.
Mike took Palmeiro's daughter to prom and got her drunk and had unprotected sex. 410-338-1098. We want to talk to you about your prom experiences. How bad did they go? You know that Scott just went. He was okay. He went with a friend. My girlfriend hooked up with someone else that night, and Josh was in an arranged date. Am I correct? The fact that when you got there, she just split off immediately?
She hung around, but we didn't really talk because we didn't know each other.
Oh,
as
God,
you said,
yeah.
We, you know, it was a... It was a blind date, and then the night we danced. That was the last time I slow danced with a person, and I took her home, and that was it. We didn't really talk.
Please,
is there a chance you might slow dance with someone at our JSS prom?
It's possible. I mean, I'd probably have to know the person.
Let's say if my wife goes, she's considering going.
Yeah.
And I gave you the blessing. Would you slow dance with Chiquita?
Yeah, I think I would.
Wow. She floats around.
That'd be
the
first
floor,
time
like
you slow dance with someone in how many? 20 years. Probably 22
more than
years.
20, yeah. 20.
21, 22 years.
Yeah.
And now.
I would love to watch you slow dance the time after time with Chiquita.
Oh, hell yeah.
Oh, my God. And I would love to watch Scott hardcore grind up against Tangeray.
No, that would not go over well.
I would think it would be fantastic.
Please. There would be a lot of hashtags later on social media.
Yeah, hashtag divorced. 410-338-1098. Let's go to the phones. Chris in Leesburg, you hold. I'm getting to you. Let's go to Vince in Westminster first. Vince, good morning.
Hey, guys. How are you?
How you doing?
Oh, we just got a great text. I don't mean to interrupt. Somebody wrote, leave room for Jesus. He's supposed to be in the middle. When you're slow dancing, enough room for Jesus to fit in there.
Yes, exactly. We need room for Jesus. And there will be decorations like the paper chains. I want paper chains. I want awful tabletops. And I want you to dress your asses up. Now, Vince, in Westminster, you were saying, sir.
Not only did we go to the senior prom, we went to Pleasure Town.
Oh. Whoa, what the hell is that?
What? Oh, come on now. You know what that is. The buddy of mine, I had a six-pack of condoms, and we both had a girlfriend each, mm-hmm. and we used every one of them. We laid all the pipe we had.
Wow, that's a great prom. Okay, you should still come to ours, though. JimmysFamousSeafood.com, tomorrow at 10 o'clock. Let's jump to another one here. Oh, this is a sad one. Let's go to Nick in Bel Air. How'd your prom go, Nick?
Horrible.
Okay.
Good morning, Spiegel.
Good morning.
So I basically got ghosted. I asked a girl to prom. She said her parents couldn't afford a dress. And 4 weeks later, my friend saw her at prom having a great old time while I was sitting at home watching Netflix.
Oh, you are such a loser. Can you come to our prom?
Yeah, I can.
I will let you dance with Mike's girlfriend. Thank you.
The one thing I got from that is that he went to the prom while Netflix was around.
We're a million years old!
It's like I was sitting at home watching Netflix. I'm like, boy, your prom was like 3 years ago.
I was watching WrestleMania 6 on VHS. Yeah, right. I suck. Let's go to Chris in... Oh, no, Chris, call back. Chris, we lost you. Chris, call back. I need to talk to you.
Oh, here's me and my senior prom date. You want to see? Look, there it is. See. I just found the picture.
Oh!
Mike, look, there's my prom date.
As I live and breathe. Look at that. That's a nice tux. I want everyone, put that up there. That's what I want people to look like.
Yeah, but then they got to spend money.
Yep.
You got to rent a tux. Maybe buy like a tuxedo t-shirt or something.
I will accept that. I want whatever your version of dressing nicely is. Shout out to Matt Davis who's helping us that night.
The film Dumb and Dumber came out, a few years before my prom. So, of course.
Everybody had the blue and
orange. There was always a
handful
at every school. Yeah, that were trying to do the Dumb and Dumber thing and get a weird colored tux.
Dude, I had the douchiest. I got to find mine. I had the priest collar with the button that went all the way to the top.
Yep.
It didn't have like a bow tie or anything like that mm-hmm. or whatever. It was, I look like one of the four horsemen. Let's go to John in Middle River with a very Middle River sounding story. Good morning.
Yeah, what's going on, guys? My prom was actually going really good. And then we got busted smoking a blunt outside. The officer was actually pretty cool about it. Told us, just basically put it out. We gave him the rest of it. So me and my buddy go on the opposite side of the building. We roll up another one and start smoking. And another cop was there, and he actually locked us both up at our senior prom.
That's what you get. That's what you get for smoking doobies.
That's why you don't take weed. Don't take the weed.
Stop smoking the doobies.
Just get high before you come to our prom. May 11th, JimmysFamousSeafood.com. Tickets on sale tomorrow.
Line six.
Let's go to Chris in Leesburg. Chris, good morning.
Hello there. Hey. What's going on, guys?
How you doing, buddy? What happened to you at your prom?
All right. So this was back, I'd say 2011.
Yeah.
But senior in high school, and I freaking hated dubstep. But the DJ at our prom, he played nothing but dubstep for 20, 30 minutes straight, and he had these strobe lights and everything. Well, plays this one song, I think, by Skrillex, and all of a sudden, I'm dropping on the floor, having a seizure.
No way! Oh. The music and the lights made you have a seizure?
Yeah. It was the first and only seizure I've ever had in my life. But I remember one of my teachers, Mr. Funkhauser, had to help carry me out.
Mr. Funkhauser?
What's his name?
That's a teacher-ass name. Mr. Funkhauser?
That's a character on Curb.
Yeah.
Holy hell, you're right. It's the guy that talks like this. Yeah, Danger Dave or whatever his name was. Wow. Okay, well, what if we promised you at our prom, no dubstep.
Please. Right. Yeah, I would come.
All right, done. You will be there.
We don't want you seizing up on us if you come to the prom.
Someone get a hold of Chris.
Listen to this. It's a musical seizure.
This is Behind the Curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
Okay, I got to eat some crow on this one. Earlier in the week, we had a big douchebag rapper conversation. Is this generation of rappers your Lil Everythings, Lil Xan, Lil Uzi Vert, Lil Yachty, Lil Peen, notwithstanding? Are they just garbage? Or are we old? And it was all based off of, I heard the new Lil Xan track, The Man. G-Damn, Lil Xan's the man. And it's mumbly and it's garbage and whatever. I hum it for 4 days straight.
I'm going to download the album and listen to it.
Total Xanarchy.
Well, I'm just trying to think back to some of the stuff that I used to listen to, which could most likely probably be considered garbage. I don't know what that would be, but I'm sure there was something, you know what I mean? Where like somebody would hear it and go, oh God, that's terrible. But I like it.
Like people used to give Mace crap. Remember that? P. Diddy's protege Mace, because he rapped real slow. Like Mace was almost like the godfather of mumble rap. And then he ended up being a preacher.
You know what this made me think of when we were talking about it earlier this week was Krunk, when that came out at the turn of the century. And you could argue that was kind of a very stripped down, sort of repetitive form of rap.
You talking like Lil Jon?
Yeah, like Lil Jon and East Side Boys.
Lil Jon was like East Side Boys. Yeah, they're at the forefront.
And at the time, I loved it.
I just typed in Lil into iTunes.
Okay. How many Lils you coming up with?
Well, Lil Wayne. We know that. Lil Yachty, Lil Durk, Lil Uzi Vert, Lil Skies, Lil Dicky, Lil Baby, Lil Pump, Lil Xan, and Lil Boat 2.
Wow.
A lot of Lils.
A lot of Lils at right now. Because it used to be MCs, a lot of doctors, and now it's Lils. Lils seems to be the trend. You know what we didn't get more into, and I think, Scott, you made this observation, is the face tattoo. They've all got these jacked up face tattoos. 69, Lil Xan, the kid that passed away, Lil Pump.
Lil Peep,
and Uzi Vert. I mean, a bunch of those dudes back in the day had a bunch of like gangster-looking tattoos. But, I mean, they're putting this stuff on their face.
It's like they got to do everything they can to look hard because they're all like 18-year-old white kids from the burbs. So it's like, what are they going to do to make themselves
semi-tough?
Well,
you don't
semi-tough?
Know that, Mike. I heard Lil Xan had a pretty rough upbringing, and he was not a suburban kid.
Well, I mean, as far as they look, like if you looked at Lil Xan, he looked like he walked out of St. Paul's school.
I heard he had a pretty crappy whole thing growing up. So,
well, long story short, everyone should listen to Young MC. Coming up, we had a discussion about modern rap. Does it suck or are we old? On a rock station. Behind the curtain.
And we're going to need Sam in here, too, because Sam is very well versed on the young douchebag rappers that are now all over the place.
Is she in?
Yeah. The one you brought up earlier this morning was who? Lil Xan.
Ugh, God.
And then we have 6ix9ine, who is also just out of control. We'll post some of this to our Twitter, I guess. Whoa, hello there.
Whoa, hey, how you doing?
Morning.
Hey.
And, do we have the song, Mike? That
yeah, we got
in
it.
In question,
right.
You...
I just grabbed a little snippet because it's laden with profanity, but I found one part that wasn't too bad.
Sam, you are the younger member of the show, by all accounts, the what an advertiser's wet dream, successful, millennial... Active, woke, you're everything. Everyone's advertising
to you.
So woke. So woke, super woke. And you also at the same time, old soul.
Yeah, definitely.
Now, what's your take on, I like to call it mumblecore. It's Lil anything.
What is it called?
It's all Lils.
What is the genre?
Lil Pump.
It kind of is mumble rap. Some of them borderline like emo rap is like the new thing. That was Lil Peep and Lil Xan.
I know you like Lil Peep.
I love Lil Peep.
And you're like sad that he's dead.
I am.
But not a lot of people
but
were
not,
bummed
not,
out.
Yeah. Not all that surprising, though, right?
No.
Yeah, he was a very tortured
person. He says in the song, drugs in my nose and in my cup. So you're probably going to die. Yeah.
Yeah, this is clean. See, I grew up with this. See, that's the Notorious B.I.G., and I can understand what he's saying. And it's incredibly well done.
Mm-hmm.
You now, and by the way, and I said this last week, and this is just me, but I got to reiterate it. I need to be afraid of my rappers. I need to be intimidated by them. I need to be scared of Dr. Feelgood era Motley Crue, like they're all in a cocaine haze, just mm-hmm. going to stab me to death. All right. I need to be terrified that I'm going to say something out of line to Suge Knight, and he's going to collapse my head in.
Yeah.
Lil Xan. My 2.5-year-old could kick his ass after a bad nap.
Yeah.
And you hear him in interviews, and he's just this mashed potato mouth zilch. And I'm thinking to myself, you know what? I don't want to be the old guy that hates all the new music. Let me listen to it. Let me try it. Maybe he's just, like okay, if you listen to Kurt Cobain back in the day, he's in an interview and he sounds like someone made him smoke Lunesta, and then he performs like, ah, I get it, you're a super talented guy. Bob Dylan, same way. Tom Waits, same way. Maybe not great in interviews, but then the product speaks for itself.
Yeah.
But then this kid goes and he's got a new song called The Man.
It's bad.
I listened to it ten times.
Songs, oh, he does have good songs. Is bad.
Does he have good songs?
I mean, personally, I like some of his other songs.
See,
yeah.
Sam likes this stuff.
Well, I like his song Betrayed. I like Lil Xan out of all of the other ones right now. I mean, Lil Peep.
So the one that Justin is talking about, who he can't stand, you like him the most?
Yeah.
Wow,
Lil Xan, you're a Lil Xan head. You're a Xan. You're a Xanarchist.
Don't call me a Lil Xan head.
You're a Xanarchist. All right, here's his new one.
Is that offensive?
I mean, a little bit.
You're a Xanarchist. You're okay, you're a Lil Xan head. This is not good. Here we go. Hold on. And hold on. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. I just need to let you know that's all it is for 3 minutes.
Is that all it is for 3 minutes?
That song in particular, yes.
What?
That's all. I'll start it over, just in case you think I'm a crazy person. This is all it is for 3 minutes.
Feels good to be the man.
Goddamn, goddamn, little Zanny the man.
Oh my God.
That is a work of art.
It's a work of art.
People
hate
me.
What do you like about that?
It's like your dad rapping at a barbecue.
That song in particular is funny. I heard it and thought it was awful. It is awful. I'll agree to that. But it's kind of entertaining to listen to. I can get down to it.
And he's not even like dance. Like, okay, let's say he rapped like that, but then you saw him perform and like, oh, he's lighting up the stage. Look at him running around. He is like sitting still.
He's a Xanax head.
He's a Xanny. Oh, God.
Wait, do you like it because it's so awful? I mean, you know, there's songs that we all like because they're so bad. You want it, you're like, it's pretty funny.
I will listen to Rebecca Black's Friday.
Right.
Every day you ask me to.
That doesn't
It's not great.
Me.
But I still am like, you know
but
what?
But is it along those lines?
Yeah, definitely.
Is this Betrayed? This is the one you say you actually kind of halfway like.
Well, yeah, I can vibe to this one.
Oh, she can vibe to it. Here it comes. Zans don't make you. Zans don't take you. Zans don't fake you. Zans don't betray you. Zans don't make you. Oh, my God.
You
here's
don't know
what's happening.
How hard
here's
I
what's
was
happening.
That in the car
end of day.
Really?
I was.
You were in the car.
I was just singing
that.
Hey, that song's got 160 million listens.
Million
it is a bop. Okay,
it's
that
a bop?
Is a good song.
Well, let it keep going.
I
want to
hear you sing.
No.
Oh, Sam,
no.
Rap it.
No, I gotta wait.
Sing it, Sam.
I can't even do it because all the words are dirty. It's like Skittles, what? You can really
taste the rainbow, what? Oh, he's just so
hold on, Sam's starting to rap.
No, they're all cuss words, though, so I can't, like, jump each word.
What is
kisses,
it? What?
Really miss my mistress.
Kisses.
There we go.
Really miss my mistress. Yeah. And 666, see want my mentions.
Y'all gotta stop. It's too early in the morning for this.
It's
gonna be a wild day for me.
Is this too fire? Is this too fire?
Well, here's what's happened. You even said it. You're like, you know, I want my Motley Crue all coked up that I think they're gonna stab me. And this, so you know, now we're in the age where these pills are big things, and these pills are like downers.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Oh, good point. So
this is what you get when you go into a studio and you're all zonked out on pills.
He actually doesn't do Xanax anymore.
That's what he says. He says that he
do you buy that?
He raps against
it. Well, he was an addict, like a legitimate addict.
Okay.
So
what do you mean he was? How old is he?
21.
He was an addict.
He probably started this when he was 14.
He got hooked when he was 13. Like, I get there's like new rappers like Logic. Dude, Logic's fire.
Yeah.
And then this happens, and I'm like, what are
sometimes
we doing?
If you can't fight it, like, you just join it, you know?
What? No, I don't.
I don't know.
Join.
I might be on
accept
it.
Accept it.
410-338-1098. Coming up, out of sports, and Mills. You know what? Not just people just hating on it, all right? Sell me. I'm clinging to youth by a thread, and I feel like the threads are snapping right now.
We haven't even talked about the fact that they all, in order to get into this world, you got to get
awful face tattoos.
Awful face tattoos. Awful face tattoos.
And you got to dye your hair.
And you got to dye your hair. Oh, 669. We got to get into afterwards. 410-338-1098. You hate it. You love it. Talk to us. Settle us. Sell us on this mumblecore. Coming up.
Justin Scott and Spiegel, 98rock.com. Spiegel is out, and we have Stacey Lynn from WBAL-AM, and phone lines are packed. Texts are flying in.
Yeah.
Talking about this new generation of rappers, Lil Xan, Lil Peep, R.I.P. There we go.
If you, the video for this is so embarrassing. Okay, he's 5'1".
Who is that?
That's Lil Xan.
That's Lil Xan.
The man. Came out this weekend. I guess the theme of the video, it's a video where he's in rehab. Shocker, his name's Lil Xan. Okay, if you name someone Lil Pedo, don't have him perform at a Chuck E. Cheese. And there's a scene where he's in like a hospital bed and a big video hoochie is bouncing this black China butt in front of his face. And he's got this tiny little carnival hand. Just this little dwarf hand, he's like smacking her butt and it's not doing anything. Like you're not even getting like a meat wave. Like if, I don't know, Method Man or Raekwon or You Got any of the Wu-Tang smacked it. It's just like she's like lying on top of a little kid. He's 5 foot nothing.
Yeah, he looks like a little boy.
He's got the smoothest little chest. I don't want a smooth chest on my rappers. I want there to be some sort of stabbing. What's the name? Total Xanarchy. Look at the cover of that album. That they're splashing water across this hairless little chest.
So people love, man.
And here's the thing. 150 million plus views. He's successful.
So weird.
He got there. He made it. He did it. But much like every generation that comes, the generation prior to it, that stuff's garbage.
Right, are we just being the old fuddy-duddies?
I'm trying to be self-aware and not be this old grumpy man. I'm not trying to be Gran Torino Clint Eastwood screaming stuff at the Asian kids next door. I want to get new music.
Here's the thing, like, and I said this earlier in the hour.
Ooh, a little penis, that's a good one.
And I'll probably date myself. I'll date myself and
your nickname?
Lil Peen? Are you Lil Peen?
I'm Lil Peen!
What's up, Lil Peen?
What's up, Lil Peen?
But like the big album when I was in high school was Dr. Dre, The Chronic, right? The Chronic is...
With the pot leaf on the CD.
Yeah, it's pot, and they would smoke pot, and it kind of, you know, affected the music in a certain way, right? That album has such a vibe to it.
Oh, 100%.
That it was a, you know, weed-infused, Chronic-infused album.
Generational. But you can still listen to it today.
But now we're in the age of... we're in the pillhead age. So when you have pillheads that are zonked out on Xanax and all these downer pills that just knock you out, this is what the music sounds like.
Lil Xan sounds like that. The one I was saying prior to us doing Keith, we'll tease, was that I love Post Malone. And Post
Malone,
he's different.
He's not in this.
He's kind of in it, though.
He's totally different.
With the mumbliness to it. He also sounds like he just woke up.
Now, Sam's the official ruling on it.
His tunes and his beats are better, but he still sounds a little sleepy. But he's just always smiling, and I can't help but love him. Now, this is one you pointed out that this dude... Okay, what's the ruling? Noted young person. Ears the tracks.
I love him.
I love him.
That's my husband. And no, he's not in this clan.
But he's all sleepy. He's kind of tired.
No, he's totally... You got to do.
He's a singer.
Yeah, he's different.
I love White Iverson.
He's in the ballpark.
He's in the ballpark. He's in the ballpark.
Okay, then he is the ringleader if he's in this ballpark.
He's the mumblecore Zeppelin. He's this generation Zeppelin. But yeah, he's not as bad as a Xan. This next one, before we get some calls, Scott pointed this out. Lil Xan runs with a silly crew. This other guy, Post Malone, seems like he's just surrounded by a bunch of fun vagabonds. This dude, 6'9".
Ooh.
Is Tekashi 6'9".
Tekashi 6'9". This dude might be... He might not be alive in a year or two.
No.
No, definitely not.
He will be shot to death.
Or in jail.
This is Billy. Okay, a little more aggressive.
It's very aggressive.
A little more aggressive. Okay.
How old are you?
I'll be 23.
So do you think this is a generational? Like Scott said it. We all think mm-hmm. the music, you know, obviously before us is different, is bad or whatever.
You think we're like old fuddy-duddies right now? Just going,
you kids and your music.
Yeah.
Well, no, not really. I mean, I listen to tons of like older music. This is not like my genre or something that I feel all millennials are into, but it is something that's spawned from my generation.
Would you call them YouTube rappers? Or is everything YouTube these days? I mean, at this point, every next generation moving forward is all online. MTV ain't making any new
stars.
That's
true. That's a tough.
Let's jump to the phones. 410-338-1098. This isn't a real person. This has to not be a real person. Bob in Harford County. Good morning.
Morning.
Hey.
No, he is a real person.
Really?
Lil Windex. He is fabulous.
Lil Windex? I looked him up.
I'm not a fan of mumble rap at all, but Lil Windex is the man.
Lil Windex.
That can't be real.
I'm looking at him.
They got rhymes. They have rhymes. They have talent in writing.
If they got talent in writing, I'm all about it. But Lil Xan was just reading the Skittles phrase and saying he's the man over and over again, when not only is he just not the man, he's shaped like a boy. And a tiny one.
Yeah.
A tiny petite boy that can't ride anything at the carnival because he's so small.
Yeah.
He gets out of the pool during Adult Swim.
Yeah. Lil Windex has got, it's got to be a comedian, right? It's a send up. It's got to be a send up.
Don't know, man. He's got a lot of. Okay. I'm going to give a listen to Lil Windex. Let's go to.
Looking at some of the lyrics, you might want to read those.
Ty and Dundalk. Ty, thank you for holding, man. Talking about this new generation of hip hop artists. Are we old?
Well, first of all, morning.
Morning.
But I think it kind of proves that, you know, we are getting kind of old, and that's probably the only reason why, because they're not really doing anything new, you know, when it really comes down to it. Even with the mumble rap, you know, there was times of, grunge era where, you know, you couldn't understand what they were saying, or, you know, people have been talking about drugs for,
in
songs and sex in songs for, you know, as long as, you know, I can remember.
Ty, you make a great point about, and thank you for the call, when metal shifted to Nirvana, that's the end of music. That's it. Everyone that listened to Poison, Motley Crue, Guns N' Roses, anybody that was ripping off this Slash-like solo, heard Kurt Cobain play guitar, and they're like, oh my God, shut down music forever. It's over. It's done. It's awful. We just went from the sweeping epic that is November Rain to Smells Like Teen Spirit. He looks like he slept underneath of a soup kitchen. And then now Nirvana's looked back as one of the greatest musical acts of all. God, we're so old.
But like you said, YouTube is so big now that anyone can get discovered and isn't just waiting at home for, you know, I mean, anyone can get discovered. My kids all the time say, oh my God, this person's so famous. And I'm like, oh, well, what do they do?
Damn,
they're a YouTuber. I'm like, what does that mean? Right. I mean, what do they do?
Let's go to Mike in Baltimore. Mike thinks he likes the new stuff. What's up, Mike?
What's up, y'all? How y'all doing?
Uh-oh.
Oh, here we go. You're deep in the game.
I feel like you might be one of the new rappers. Lil Mike.
What's up? I actually do rap, though. What's up? How y'all doing?
Hi there. Lil Mike. How are you? Good morning.
But I'm doing good. I love the new wave of rap music. Like the last dude just said, I feel like it's like how when a lot of old rock heads will listen to the grunge era and they think it's trash. I think that's how it is now. But I think a lot of the like the new wave rap, this is like more creative and more, more original all around. Like the old school, they have lyrics and stuff, but when you go into beats and melodies and creativity and all that stuff, I think the new wave has it beat by far.
Okay, I'm getting it.
We now take you behind the curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
We got to see Curio Wellness up in Timonium, Lutherville, Hunt Valley, Cockeysville, all over the place. I don't quite know what that area is called. York Road, across from Charm City Run, shout out from the Nautilus Diner, is the Curio Wellness retail location. But we got a tour on Thursday of this week of the Grow site. And did anybody notice? We went with a friend who I can't say who we went with for his professional reasons, but he and I were texting afterwards, and he said that he put his hands behind his back and clasped them to really make it known to the people that were giving us the tour, I promise not to steal any of this stuff. Because inside you're like, if I could just snap off one branch of this sticky, icky Bubba Kush bud, man, I'd love to. One branch. Give me one branch.
Yeah,
you can't do it.
I'm not a big weed guy to begin with. But even without being a weed, like, I know the person you're talking about, and he is. And he was like,
there was salivating. At
one point, he just kept asking, like, can you break open one of those buds? Can you break up a... Like, I would just break... And finally, he got to the point where, I guess it was the trimming room, where one of the guys was, like, trimming the buds.
Uh-huh.
And he had a guy, like, break one open. I thought he was going to, like, climax in his pants.
I thought he was going to orgasm. Yes. I've never heard him talk that much ever.
Yeah.
Outside.
He kept asking to break open buds. I'm like, dude, relax.
Can you open that one, please? I'm like, what do you think's in there? More weed, man. There's just more weed. There's not, like, a special nougat center. It's right, just weed. Right. Can and you open that?
Dude, can you break open that?
There were a couple times we were in certain rooms where we start to wander around, like, behind us,
and I'm watching him. I'm like, dude, if you,
I'm like, yeah, I kept, I'm, I like, I know he's not going to steal anything, but I'm still like,
dude, he tapped my foot in this one room, and he eyes the ground because one of the drying rooms, one of the branches had dried and fallen off and landed on the ground, and he does the foot nudge, and he's looking at the floor like, dude, look,
dude, it's like Willy Wonka, like you touch something, yeah, and then on the way out. You lose!
You lose!
Good day, sir! Like, they pull you into the room.
I said good day!
You had fizzy lifting drinks. I saw you pick up a bud!
We were going to get 5 pounds of grass, but someone had to make off with one flake. Yeah. Well, luckily he didn't. We had a great time, and we recapped it coming up. Our trip to Curio Wellness.
Yeah. And yesterday we took a little field trip. Trying to educate ourselves on the medical marijuana that is now legal and is spreading and popping up all over the place. And we went to Curio Wellness, which is right there in Timonium, right on York Road.
Shout out.
Right across from the Nautilus Diner and Charm City Run. Shout out.
And we got to see the facility, the retail location that we encourage you to stop in at, meet the folks. But they gave us a special behind-the-scenes tours because part of the legality of medicinal marijuana in the state is that it's got to be grown in the state. And we went to the place. And I kept telling our gracious hosts yesterday that I was so blown away at the professionalism, the cleanliness, and the high-tech everything inside. This isn't a huge room with a bunch of plants. Obviously, they have that. But it's not just an indoor nursery. This thing has as much water coolant systems, pumps, filtrations, meters as a nuclear power plant. Then the processing facility where they withdraw the cannabinoids and they withdraw the potent chemicals inside of marijuana to be used in products. It's like something out of a phlebotomist's office. It was so much more grand than I could have imagined going in.
Yeah, I was blown away by how high-tech it was, how impressive it was, how expensive it must have been, how grand it was. You think, oh, they're growing a couple of plants inside a building. And it's like, no. There are pipes everywhere. There is climate control. There are locks and seals and
this room is at 62.3 Fahrenheit for 9 hours. And the water has a certain level of salination and pH balance. And we saw it from soup to nuts, from the germination room where everything, the plants were an inch tall, to the ones where they're beginning to flower, to where they're drying. We saw the whole thing, lock, stock, and two smoking barrels. And, all right, I mean, let's just say it. The whole place just reeked of the stickiest sticky that you've ever smelled. But it was
medicine.
Good medicine. Did you, by the way, did you get any comments from anybody in your family when you came home?
No, I knew I stunk of it. And I had, like, a zip-up hoodie on, and I had that off, so I told Chiquita to smell it, and she was like, oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I had to show someone an email last night being like, look, this is where we went today. All right. Just smells like you might have been doing something after work. Like, yes, I went to a facility where there was a Walden Woods worth of weed being grown by the best people to ever grow it. It, my God, it might even still be in my jacket.
little bit. I just took my coat off and I put it back on when I left, and it smelled like it. But yeah, it was great, man. It was just so
clean. Just amazing how I don't even know what the word is. High tech it is. How precise it is. It was. I was literally blown away by this operation. The building is. It's so impressive and gorgeous. It was like
it's got to be 100 miles of pipe in there, of water pipe, moving liquid from one area of the facility to the other. Massive. Man, there was like 600 pounds in one room
to roll out. But we went actually to the retail location, which is right on York Road.
Mike Anderson joins us. He joined you.
The retail location is unbelievable. It's like you're in a high-end spa.
I say it's like an Apple store as far as how clean and sleek it is.
And the whole front of it is just a wellness center. It's not even has anything to do with any kind of herbal cannabis medicine. It's just all vitamins and sleep stuff and prostate stuff and
you
memory.
Can take a kid in there, no problem. It's just it's like a vitamin store. It's like a vitamin shop.
And then they have like yoga off to the side. They have acupuncture. They have massage. Then you have to go through these double locking doors. Then you get back to the, you know, the place where the medicine is dispensed. But it is nothing like some seedy little shack. It is like a high-end spa at the Bellagio.
And it's funny, they were saying that a lot of the processes that they're using to grow and to distill and to pull out the effective elements of the plants, they're having to basically invent their own processes. This is still such a young industry as far as how to distill stuff down. There was a room that we saw that looked like, I described it when I saw it, it looked like the world's most high-tech moonshine still, where they were spinning this big flask full of THC oil, or what was it called in there? It was like this big sticky potent stuff, and they had ethanol being burned off of it, and they were distilling the ethanol out of the marijuana and leaving just behind that sticky, goopy, drippy stuff that they could then distill down even further to where they could make the vape cartridges. They could make the half and half tea. They could make the we got to see where they hole punched mints out, where they had the mint maker. We saw where they basically made Altoids on this punching machine where they would punch out one mint at a time, 10,000 an hour. Mike, what was your takeaway from the tour?
I just kept thinking, like, this plant is, like, magical. Like, especially standing in that giant field of cannabis.
When they opened up that room with the plant, with all the plants in it, which just went on forever.
Just like, oh, my God, look at all this.
And I was shocked by how short they were, and that was, I don't want to give away any secrets, because you expect to see these giant, like, 6-foot plants.
Yeah, some as tall as Spiegs with arms stretched out.
Well, that's
covered
what you
weed.
Always see, but the way Chris over there does it is he's figured out a way to make them only like 2 or 3 feet tall with just as many flowers.
Bushy.
But yeah, you think it's magical?
Well, yeah, just the appearance of the plant, and it's just like you said, it's alien almost when you look at it. Like, is there another plant that even, I'm sure there are, but you don't see them around here. I'm sure there's exotic plants that rival their appearance.
Though, that don't have that, like, I mean, the budding structure that we saw where those buds formed.
Right, and had like the little pistils coming off. It looked like hair, essentially.
Man,
it's just like it almost looked like they're alive, like they're gonna move if you try to touch it.
Someone was, you know, that powdered sugar sieve they give you when you buy your funnel cake at the fair. It looked like a couple of those plants were covered in that stuff. It was so white and crystalline, and like you said, very alien. If you told me that that was from one of the planets in No Man's Sky, I'd believe you. Like, I'm waiting for the thing to turn, look at me, and blink.
It truly is beautiful.
And when he had that table, there was a room that you walked in that the room was probably 80 yards deep, and there were two very large tables in the room, and he took his hands and he moved one of them to create like a path in between the two tables. But it looked like, I'm trying to describe this properly. Imagine one man moving a construction site dumpster by himself. The way this one whole table slid out of the way. The design of the place was incredible.
How much that building must have cost to like build out? Like,
oh my God.
It's hard to put it in the
Without sure giving away how much he said each one of those plants was worth.
Yeah, I'm sure it was a good investment no matter what it cost.
Yeah, so I'm going to spend some time tonight as I kick my feet up in the hotel room in New Orleans as Buck passes out. Signing up for a card.
This is Behind the Curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
So we were joined yesterday on the program, Finesse Mitchell, SNL alum. And I think in hindsight, it was the only SNL alum we didn't ask about being on SNL. We got a lot of people in here that, you know, got to walk those hallowed halls. And what was Lorne like? What were the days like? What were the writer rooms like?
Well, yeah, I was on his wiki page. And I was looking at all the impressions. I mean, on that show, he did a ton of... But that's the thing. You don't know... I didn't want to put him on the spot because I didn't know what was like... Just, you know, sometimes they're just... They play a character. It's not really an impression. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Who's the guy? Jay Farrow?
Yeah, Jay Farrow, who does the Jay-Z, does Kanye. Obama and all that. Yeah.
And, like, he had a... Finesse Mitchell had a really long list of them, and I didn't know what was what. So
yeah, yeah.
Like,
OJ, Morgan Freeman, Ed Lover, Bobby Brown, Colin Powell, Kevin Eubanks. Yeah, he did a lot on there. He had a nice little run, too. Plus, you don't know how, you know, their run went. How long was his run on SNL? How long did it go for?
I don't think it was very long.
Yeah, I don't know.
Josh is right, 2003 to 2006. So he had more than a cup of coffee there. But not one of those storied careers. There'll never be a Finesse Mitchell best of DVD that they sell at like Best Buy. But he made an impression while he was there.
He's got a memorable name.
Finesse Mitchell. We discuss the name coming up on Behind the Curtain. Follow this gentleman online at Finesse Mitchell. Blue check verified.
What?
Are you verified?
Is that me?
That's
Must
you, buddy.
Be nice.
Yes,
must be
man.
Nice to be verified.
You know what? I didn't think that was ever a big deal until so many people look you up and say, oh, you are who you say you are.
I is.
And it is a big deal.
You are you.
A lot of Finesse Mitchell impersonators out there?
Well, you
imposters?
Know. I'm not a bad dude to impersonate.
No.
You know what I'm saying?
Have
I got
you had
going
to kill
on.
Dummy accounts, though, before? We've all had... garbage accounts made for us before that you've had to email the site and be like, hey, that's not me.
Yeah.
I'm not a member of NAMBLA. Can you please take that down? Please.
Yeah, man. Well, what I do is I have at Finesse Mitchell, but then I have Derek Fisher's picture. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I try to kill two birds with one stone.
9 minutes ago, at Finesse Mitchell, if I may... I'm up early listening to loud gospel music in an Uber ride. I said it's a little loud, and my driver, Deborah, said, as it should be.
Oh,
no complaints, I guess.
Yep.
Shout out, Deborah.
What can you say? What can you say to that?
That's amazing. Nothing.
Turn down Jesus?
Yes.
What's wrong with you, lady?
As it should be.
You can tell that was a black church lady Uber driver. As it should be.
If I could just, you gotta make a left up here. When I think how much better Deborah, be
I think the station's that way.
Deborah, you passed it.
Put you quiet down back there. I got the Lord.
I got the Lord guiding us for now.
Let me tell you.
Jesus got the wheel.
Shuts the door, he'll open the window.
Jesus will get you there. Don't worry about it.
Some way, somehow, his love is gonna seep through.
The Lord.
You pray for me, I'll pray for you. Until we meet again, Baltimore.
Yes.
I'm your friend. I'll see you tonight at the Baltimore Comedy Factory.
Oh
it's the SNL. Ever looking so good, always smelling good. Always on TV, always on a pilot that never make it to air. That is me, is Finesse Mitchell back in the building. Taping for his 1 hour special.
Oh, yeah.
And what's going to be special about this is that this is the last city before I tape. I tape Thursday.
So you're getting the tightest set you're going
to
see.
I'm about, man, Baltimore, if y'all could just come out.
Oh,
I say this.
Yeah.
I say this as sincerely as I can. If you love stand-up comedy, please come out this weekend. This is the last city before I tape my 1 hour special on Thursday. And I'm taping it in L.A. But I flew all the way out here just to run this 1 hour, 6 different shows. So y'all come on out. It's going to be dope.
How long does it take to massage an hour?
You know what? A good hour, a good 2 years.
Whoa.
A good 2 years.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Really let that stuff.
Yeah.
Was there any material in there that you were like, man, this is going to be it. This is going to be the fat man, the little boy, the big bomb that I'm going to drop at the end of it to blow this up. That by the time here you are now, final weekend before the taping, you're like, I think I might actually leave that thing on the shelf, or it didn't quite pan out the way I wanted it to.
It always happened like that, bro. Like, you got the most bomb material ever. You ready to go to tape, and Hillary Clinton lose.
So you're like, oh, I didn't see that coming. I got to rewrite this whole political segment.
Damn, I got to read. It's funny. There was an article about that recently, that the news cycle with everything that's happening is so every 24 hours. It's never been faster to where comics but will tape a special. Well, then release it 6 months later at the earliest. There's a great guy named Rory Scovel who's got a Netflix special. Rory Scovel does stand-up for the first time. It just came out maybe 2 months ago.
Right.
But he filmed it before the election, and there's a huge chunk of material in there now that, while funny, man, is there a huge time stamp on it.
Right. Like, I have a Meghan Merkel joke, right?
For the German chancellor?
No.
Who am I thinking
Meghan
of?
Merkel. You talking about Angela Merkel.
Angela Merkel. I get my Meghan Merkel.
You get your Merkel's mixed up.
She's engaged to Prince Harry.
I was kind of right.
Yeah.
But
you was almost
all.
Right. You was just off about 40 years.
Gotcha.
But by the time the special come out, they're going to be married. But the joke is, if she actually makes it to the ceremony, you know what I mean? She gets married, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I noticed she's going to be married by the time the special drops.
So you got to take that into
account.
Just
tweak it a little bit. So I'm here, man. I'm looking over material because it's so important. And you never know when your special going to drop. I've seen so many specials this year talking about the gorilla, a hombre or whatever, right. Who beat up the kid.
Right.
And that feels like 5 years ago.
Yeah.
So by the time you're talking about it in 2018 in your special, you kicking yourself.
So like, hey, why you did guys out here hear about that missing Malaysian plane?
Right.
I was just reading about news that happened this year, and the solar eclipse that was in January.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't that seem?
It seems like a year ago. You're 100% right. Stuff cycles through so much, and you know what I always love. It seems to be happening more and more than it did back in the days. The comedians. Set piece is now becoming a thing where you'll get a guy that will dress the stage up to look like his high school a classroom, or to look like an arcade, or to look like
old
inside
baby
of a club.
School, a baby picture or something.
Yeah, bunch of that stuff.
Are a lot of people doing slide shows and stuff too.
Like a visual element.
Thing, yeah, man.
Are you going to have a stage set, or is it going to just be a classic curtain
stage
lights?
It's a classic purple stained glass window with my name Finesse lit up in it. Because the spirit, it's called The Spirit Told Me to Tell You. So every time, you know, it's not church related because I'm cursing way too much.
Let's turn this back up.
You know what I'm saying? But the special will be called The Spirit Told Me to Tell You because, you know, sometimes it hits me in between funniness. And then if I get too offensive, I can say, you know, God. God told me to say that.
By the way, God's got nothing to do with this next bit.
Yeah, he got nothing to do with what I'm about to talk about. So, ladies, buckle up.
Buckle
you know what
up.
I mean? Can I say
prom
something before
style.
I forget? I don't want to step on Jimmy, what's going on. But I also want to say, if you're an April baby and you can prove you are April baby on your license, you can get in half price on Sunday at the Baltimore Comedy Factory.
I'm an April baby.
He's an
if
April
you're an
baby.
April baby.
I am a baby, and I am born in April.
Josh is there 4 days old. He's the world's largest infant.
I'm a very, very literate.
You do look like an adult baby,
yes,
bro.
I am, and I'm wearing diapers.
Like a big,
right now.
Juicy baby.
Every baby comes out with that hairstyle.
I know.
The little curl up front.
Right.
Yeah, man. And I'm seeing it.
And a mushed in face.
He's got a very soft skull. Do not touch the top of his head. Do not touch the top of Josh's head.
You're mixed, Josh.
Am mixed.
Okay.
Definitely mixed.
He's 94% Ashkenazi Jewish. We actually got DNA tests done in here, and that man is true blue tribesman.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we all got it done. You ever do one of those?
I did the, what is it called?
It's the My DNA kit. Well, you swab your mouth and you mail it back in, and they'll email you all the regions of the world your ancestors are from.
Man,
because we got some screwed up results, and Josh was confirmed to be the king of the Hebrews.
And now, not only can you get your ancestors, you could find out if you're going to get Parkinson's or cancer or Alzheimer's.
Turns out, I've already got them all.
Yeah. Last time I had my mouth swabbed out, turned out I was not this baby's father. And
nuts.
I said, I will never do that again.
Yes.
Because once you get away with it once, I said, hey, I will never need to have nothing swabbed out ever again. That's a
like
true
a
story,
get
bro.
Get out of jail free card. You are,
this
you
girl
are
didn't look good at
2
a.m. in the morning. I don't even know what I was thinking.
Oh, and you decided to not put your swimmies on?
Oh, my goodness. I don't know what I was thinking.
Into the deep end.
And you want to hear something even crazier?
Please.
I was the fourth dude she tested.
Did they ever find the dad?
I don't know. I don't care.
How many
I had to go
get.
I don't
with?
Know. I just had to go get myself tested, and once I was, I said I'll never get swabbed out again with my mouth, and I'll never.
What
know,
was more
go raw again?
What's more stress? So you had to get you got tested for diseases too, right?
Yeah, obviously. All that.
So what was the more stressful of the two? A kid or a disease?
I'll take a disease. And
she had tested four other guys.
Because the thing is, with the disease, I'm going to be taking medicine, but I'm going to live my life.
Yeah.
With that baby, I got to explain for the rest of my life how I met her, why I did that, and what, you know, it's just, I was just, I don't know.
Yeah, no, lack of you're judgment. Right.
Yeah, at least that didn't happen to me. So, I love you, Evan. Yeah, trust me. I had a kid about 2.5 years ago, and maybe there was like a 50% off of one of those paternity tests. And I was like, yeah, it'll be fun. And mom goes to bed, and I swab the inside of his cheek. I do mine. I mail it back in. I get that letter, and I'm telling you, it was like a college acceptance letter.
Yes.
I'm like, all right, here we go. Rip it open. All right. Where's the number? You are 99.17 nines in a row. Definitely the dad. Oh,
yes.
Right.
That's good, brother.
Just needed to
make
sure.
My wife's kid, you said it about 2.5 years ago. I like the way you said that.
Just about.
My daughter just turned 3, but looks just like me.
Okay.
I mean, in the face, she has all my features, but everything else, hair, complexion, looks like my wife.
You just have a daughter?
I have a daughter. I have a baby on the way.
Oh, really?
And we don't
know
what we're going to name this baby. So
you know
anybody,
the gender yet?
It's a girl.
Oh, so you're going to have a second girl?
A second girl, bro.
Oh,
I've done
boy.
Too much dirt. My Miami days were off the
you're
chain.
You're done. You're out number 3-1 now.
I know, bro. It's bad.
Yeah.
But if anybody want to help me, see, my the baby's grandfather's name is El DeBarge, right? The singer.
Really?
What's so funny?
El DeBarge. I'm sorry. It's pretty great.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, this is my cousin's CNC Music Factory.
Yeah. So we named the baby El because my mother's name is L. Kate Mitchell. So we named the baby L. Kate Mitchell. But her dad, my wife's dad, think we named the baby after him.
Okay.
My mom think we named the baby after hers. That was perfect. This second baby, we have no clue. So anybody hit me up at Finesse Mitchell on Twitter. Just give me a little girl's name that's pretty dope.
Miami Sound Machine.
That's it. No, and don't send me no Wakandas or none of that. I need a real name. I was looking at your face.
Yeah, because you can go. There's a lot of places you can go with that.
I just want a name that's not generic. But
okay.
You know what is it called when it could be a boy or a girl name?
Unisex.
Unisex?
No,
yeah, there you go.
No.
Yeah. No,
a unisex name. No.
Gender neutral.
Gender neutral.
No. Like Patrick, Terry.
Patrick is not.
Patrick's not.
Be a,
no, Pat can. Patrick can.
Yeah.
Sam can.
Stacy.
Yeah, something like that.
Like Stacy Keach. Yeah.
But I want something like you know how.
Rick. Apple. Rick. Didn't, Rick's a good girl's name.
What's her face name? The
Never
kid
mind.
Apple.
Baltimore. I apologize.
No. We're picking your daughter's name right now. Jonathan.
Tree.
Something like.
What's wrong with tree?
Blythe.
Something like, you know how it'll be like Ryan, but it could be a boy or a girl.
Right. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Something cool like that. So
Rocky.
No, not tree. Stop.
Scrunt.
What? Scrunt?
Scrunt.
Where's
Maud?
Keith?
Keith's a great name.
Maud.
This is Keith Mitchell.
Phil.
Phil?
Oh, man. You ever, a girl named Phil.
How about a nice Jewish name?
Vanessica.
Vanessica. It's like George Foreman where he named all his kids Georgina, yes. Georgette, Georgelina. Vanessica is a 10 out of 10.
That's a good one, right?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Hey,
man.
Let me ask you, and I know we're kind of bouncing around with names and stuff like that, but this might be something that we do in the weeks to come. Do you have a middle name, Finesse?
Yes.
What's your middle name, if you mind me asking?
Finesse.
Finesse. Mm-hmm. Just okay, so
first
you have a first name.
Alfred.
Alfred Finesse Mitchell.
Oh,
I'm Justin Daniel Schlegel.
What a name.
That's a badass name, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Scott has no middle name.
Hey, yeah, is that
they didn't
that
give
shocking?
You a third name?
He never got a middle name.
I mean, I got a confirmation name when I got confirmed, but like it wasn't, I don't have a born.
Lucifer.
Like what's your last name?
Reardon.
Scott Reardon.
We're thinking about doing a tournament
kinda,
to pick a middle name for Scott.
It's not Alfred
Scott
Finesse
Reardon.
Mitchell. That's for damn
That's
sure.
A fancy ass name. That's old money name.
I know, man. I was Alfred for so long, and then
Alfred Finesse
and then,
Mitchell.
The Batman movies started coming out.
Oh, and you had to cancel.
And what really happened was I went down to the University of Miami, and I was in the locker room, and I'm sitting next to killers and
and Alfred.
Yeah, my name is Alfred. So everybody had these cool names.
A dude named Sword.
So, what up, Blaze?
Hey, yeah.
What up, JoJo?
Hey,
what
this
up?
Is Rocket. This is Missile. Man. This is Bullet Casing. And Alfred.
And Alfred. And I play defense. They're like, nah. So I was like, finesse. And actually, it really happened when this girl, she was an AKA. We were talking about fraternities and sororities, Alpha Kappa Alpha.
Shout out.
Nice looking girl. She was a senior. I was a freshman. I was trying to hit on her.
Ooh.
And she was trying to shut me down. And then she said, "You must think you just Mr. Finesse, huh?" I said, "Yo, wait a minute. That is my name."
That
and
actually kind of is.
So then.
Did it work?
So, yeah, we cool. And so then. when I went in the locker room, one of the dudes knew that. And when somebody said, "What's your name, buddy, again?" And then somebody said, "Oh, that's Finesse right there." And it just took off like wildfire. And I was like, thank God.
Thank God.
Thank God that somebody else who wasn't a freshman vouched that, yo, that's his name is Finesse. And everybody started calling him.
Nice.
Damn, I like that. Mike, do you have a middle name? I didn't find that. You might have told me
we
I
already
forgot.
Talked about
Curly
Michael,
Top.
Michael D. Anderson.
Curly Perm.
Curly Perm.
Yeah, I got the most vanilla name on
Swizzle.
The planet.
Michael David?
There was two other Mike Andersons in my high school while I was there.
Michael David Anderson. Michael David Anderson. Okay.
Scott Reardon sounds like a poker name or, like a golf name or a spy.
A spy.
Scott Reardon. Yeah. If you have any ideas for Scott's middle name, I would like to do a tournament. A 64 bracket that we whittle down and eventually
Scott
legally.
If we whittle it down and we get to a name, I may just legally change my name.
And Scott, at the end of it, has to legally change his name to it.
Aloysius.
Aloysius.
That's my vote.
Yes.
Aloysius.
Hot lotion.
Scott Reardon sounds like one of those, forensic file cases where the dude, jacked his wife up.
Scott Reardon.
Hey.
You should give yourself a more Italian
name. Scott Reardon.
Well, I'm not 100% Italian, Michael.
Reardonini.
Reardon is Irish.
Yeah,
is Irish.
It's O'Reardon. They dropped the O to avoid Irish persecution.
Completely crap all over my father's side of my heritage.
You followed a lot of women through the parking lot late at night.
Hey, come on! Dude! You need any help getting your car, missus? Lady! Well, it sure is a dark night tonight. Hey, look inside of my brown paper bag here. Look at this.
It puts the lotion back into the basket.
Hey, you want to tell us what happened there, Mr. Reardon? I got some security kids. Mr. Reardon?
Hey.
Mr. Reardon, turns out you get a little handsy, huh? Oh, and I know how it happens. She giving you signals.
And you know what they always say? I know my rights.
I want my lawyer.
Yeah, or the lawyer just walks in suddenly.
And the lawyer walks in.
This questioning stops.
Stops right now. Every time.
Finesse Mitchell, BaltimoreComedy.com, Baltimore Comedy Factory this weekend. See him on his last stop before he films his special.
Yeah.
Woo-hoo.
Thank you, Baltimore. I'll see y'all soon.
It's time to go Behind the Curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
I still say we're right about this, and I still feel like I got bamboozled. We had our head engineer, chief engineer, just one of the main engineers, one of the smartest guys in the building, not the smartest, Carrie Plackmeyer, come in to finally own it. Cambridge Analytica. Facebook's gathering info. People are listening. Whistleblowers behind the scene in IT saying, yeah, they're gathering up everything. He's called us idiots for saying that we thought that a year ago. We've been ahead of the curve on this program for a long time. We bring him back in for an apology. He does this soft shoe routine.
We knew he would.
And I still don't know what he said. I still don't quite grasp what he said. He kept bringing up, that's illegal. Do you think laws in any way, shape, or form stop these people from doing what they feel like doing? No. These people write the laws. They pay the lawmakers. They are the law. They do whatever they want.
And I'm sure it's worked into their legal language when you accept their terms of agreement. That I'm sure that they've some way put it in there that they can listen to conversations. They already said they listen to the background to see if you're like in a gym or watching TV, you're listening to music, what song is it? They've already said they do that.
Josh did a story on Wednesday that week when he returned, thank God, that Alexa is just going to start responding and listening to stuff when you don't say her name. She's just soaking in information at all times. We asked for an apology. We didn't get one. He danced around the issue. We thought it'd finally be vindication, but we were wrong. our head engineer, joined us to talk about Facebook listening on Behind the Curtain. Stacey, you are an intelligent woman. You are a broadcaster. You are someone that keeps their ears to track trends. You are someone that deals with technology every day. Do you think your cell phone is listening? Is the webcam listening?
Totally.
When you say something, you have the whole Facebook to do right now with the data breach, people's personal info. What's this? The Analytica? What the hell is it called? Something Analytica?
Cambridge
Analytica. That, if you didn't know, now you know. They're listening. They're keeping everything. All right, we've brought it up before.
Yeah, we've done experiments where all we would talk about for a day and a half was whatever. We'd make something up, something that we would never be talking about.
Bongos. I want bongos.
Yeah, I need a new set of bongos.
How much fun would bongos be?
How much the bongos cost?
I don't know, but I'm in the market for bongos.
You do that for 3 hours, and then you log on to Facebook, and there's an advertisement for bongos.
It's creepy, isn't it?
Oh, I had an even creepier instance the other week when I was at Wegmans. I was going through the frozen foods aisle, and I came upon this section of hors d'oeuvres. And I'm like, that's kind of cool. They have hors d'oeuvres here? And they were really expensive and nice. And I swear to God, I sat there for like 10 minutes looking at all the different hors d'oeuvres. Didn't mutter a word, nothing else. 2 hours later, an advertisement for hors d'oeuvres comes up on Instagram,
yeah,
which is owned by Facebook.
We also talked about that because that happened to me as well. I was shopping somewhere, and I don't remember what I was looking for, but it was something very specific. I was like in a certain aisle. Can't remember what it was, but same thing. And then we talked about it on the air, and people were saying, "Well, they track your shopping habits and where you are. They can find out where you are and what store." And
we all have GPS locators built into our phones,
and
we don't
they
turn off.
Send ads based on that. It's creepy as hell. But this all leads us to our chief engineer here, Carrie Plackmeyer, who
they called us idiots
for years, has come in here and just basically called us idiots to our face. Saying that they're not listening, it's all just coincidence, it's all psychosomatic or whatever the hell
it's
you want to call it.
Yeah,
it's all happenstance.
Okay,
that
we
you
get
just
it.
Think you're getting these ads, but you're really... No.
No, you're getting the ads.
Well, no, you're getting the ads, but you think that you're... It's just... You're it's almost your mind piecing it together.
I
going,
just searched
like, wow,
about
that's...
Hooters and their pantyhose, and there's an ad on Facebook for Hooters right now. On my Facebook.
Immediately.
I mean, literally, 2 seconds ago.
Yeah, and I get it if you enter in stuff. Like if I'm
right, if
like
for example,
keystrokes.
We all know they follow your keystrokes, right. But we're talking about listening to us,
not entering anything, speaking aloud about bongos. For example, some bongos on the beach would be fun to play in Ocean City. A couple of bongos, for example. How's that sound right there?
But
those
now
bongos?
We have concrete evidence that they are listening. They have been listening. We were right the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
And I want an apology, quite frankly, from Carrie Plackmeyer. So for years, we have been talking about social media and Facebook. And we have said we were convinced.
They're listening.
We knew what we were talking about. We know that they're listening. We know.
I know they are.
Because we've done experiments of our own. And we've had listeners call in with their experiences. And it's just so obvious.
Yeah.
It was obvious to all of us.
All of us.
That we knew that they were listening. And now we have proof that they are listening. People are coming out. There's whistleblowers.
Cambridge Analytica.
Christopher Wiley. Employee of Cambridge Analytica is on record saying that they are listening to us.
How about the article that came out where Target figured out that a teen girl was pregnant before her father did by the purchases she was making and started sending her coupons for prenatal stuff? And the dad flips out, gets all mad, and then finds out, oh, wait, Target knew before I did. The little girl is with child. It's on. Listen.
Facebook has the ability to spy on users in their homes and offices.
Oh, man.
In front of a committee, British Parliament. They gave him a shakedown, and he blew the whistle.
Uh-huh. Well, we've been saying this for quite some time, and we talked to one of, if not the most intelligent people that we have ever met. He's essentially 98 Rocks, Stephen Hawking, but... in better condition physically. Carrie Plackmeyer, good morning.
Good morning.
He will now issue us an apology. So whenever you're ready, Carrie Plackmeyer, we will be on this side of the room just waiting.
I'll be waiting over here.
Your apology to us. Calling us idiots and saying we were wrong all these years, and go.
I never called you an idiot.
In so many words, you did.
It was implied.
It may have been implied, but I never said it.
Okay. I sucked on a doorknob on a bet once.
Yeah, I don't doubt
that.
And
here we go. It starts with I'm
here to tell you.
No, cut his mic.
Not it.
Let's take it from the top.
You mess it up here, Plackmeyer. There's a no spin zone here. There's a no spin zone. You're not going to spin and spin and spin and so spin like you always do. And you're not going to give some long-winded explanation. We're halfway through. We're lost. And we don't even know what you're talking about.
I won't lose you, and I won't be long-winded. We're talking about what Chris Wiley said, right? The guy from Cambridge Analytica, right?
Yes.
He hasn't been with the company since 2014.
So what?
So how would he know what they've been doing? He was a part-time contractor for the company, according to sources within Cambridge Analytica. So he's sort of his status of what he's saying they're doing has been greatly diminished based on that. However, getting into the Facebook listening specifically, Facebook listening on your phone, I still do not believe that. In many states, it breaks wiretapping laws. It breaks federal wiretapping laws. I really don't believe a company would knowingly do that in order to get advertising.
He's deep state.
However, Facebook's algorithms they use are incredibly sophisticated, and they reach into places.
Spinning!
So, do you have So you were talking earlier about hors d'oeuvres and some other things that kind of came up randomly.
Bongos,
Mike Anderson. Yeah, bongos.
So, do you have a grocery store membership card? So when you go, you scan that or you punch in your phone number.
I do, but the thing is, I never bought any.
Well, I'm not saying that specifically is the reason why you would have seen that, but
where's the apology in all this, Carrie?
Let me just, on the risk of being thrown out of your studio, let's just get it right out right now. I'm not going to apologize for anything.
You son of
I knew it.
You just can't come off it. You just can't admit that
right. You're not right.
Yes, we are.
No, you're not.
We're
if you're talking
right.
about
listening.
Whether or not, no, they're not. They're not. It's way more sophisticated.
Why do you listen? You're the smartest man I know, and I love you with all my heart, and I think you're good looking, and you're one of my best bromance I've ever had.
He wants to cuddle with you.
Yeah,
he knows all this. He knows how I feel about him. Why are you just this horrifically naive? Why do you pull the wool over your own eyes? Just accept it. Accept it.
They listen.
They listen.
They don't. There was an incident, I don't know, 8 or 10 years ago. I can't remember what the TV manufacturer was. I think it was Samsung, where they had the kinetic, you know, it senses your movement, so you can like wave your hand and it changes channels.
Yeah.
And they discovered that the microphone was at times active, and they could potentially get the audio. And that was a huge deal. And they wrote a software patch and they pushed it out to shut it down so that couldn't happen. Because the legal ramifications of having an open microphone, it is, as you guys know, you can't record phone conversations.
But don't we consent to it when we agree?
You can't. Of them listening to you whenever they want? No.
When you see these huge like iTunes agreements or these apps that have 15 pages worth of agreements,
sure,
they bury these permissions in there.
But there's nothing in there that allows them to listen to the microphone whenever you want.
Computer, are you listening to us?
Hell, everyone. The computer here cannot wait to turn you all into batteries.
Cool.
Whoa.
See?
I'm all right with that. I know Kung Fu.
Yes, you're going to be able to fight off the Matrix.
And when's a good law ever prevented
a nation's government from getting what they want?
Now, hold on a minute. Now, if you want to talk about government, that is a different thing. So if you're talking about NSA, CIA, I do believe they have the capability to do that, and they do it illegally, in my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah.
However, you were talking about Facebook doing and advertising, listening. And that's two very different things.
Somebody wrote in on a text that says, think about it. If you use a service like Facebook for free, you are not the customer.
That's right.
You're the product.
That
oh my
is
God.
Absolutely
Whoa!
Correct.
My chest hurts.
Mind blown.
Yep.
Oh!
That's true. Facebook.
That
oh!
is true.
Yeah,
nothing's
you,
free.
No. Facebook,
free.
Google, Gmail, Yahoo Mail, all of those, they aren't providing the service for free because they have good hearts. Right. So they're doing it because they're advertising to you. And I honestly prefer targeted
I'm
advertising.
Getting sick.
I like being able to log on to Facebook and see things in the margins that are relevant to me instead of, you know, something about scrapbooking.
They're off all the time.
Well, they are. Yeah. But it's better than completely random.
Well, Mike had forwarded an article earlier talking about a patent from Facebook revealing that they're considering watching users through cameras on their laptops and smartphones.
See?
They've just spotted this technology. Basically, it'll capture images and track your facial expressions as you're watching stuff on Facebook.
I'm going to throw
up. To see how you react, and then they'll use that to their advantage.
Yeah, but it would be an opt-in, and it, you would be...
No, but no, this says it, even when it hasn't been switched on, they're going to capture you by enabling... They will enable the camera option.
They're listening.
Even when you don't do it yourself.
They're watching.
It's like, how do we prove that? It's probing, like, they could do it. How would you ever prove that they are? You know
That's
what I mean?
Creepy.
This is so wild. That is so scary.
Carrie Plackmeyer
is
now.
This is a demo.
And keep in mind, too, you can patent technologies that aren't legal.
Enjoy your last time.
It doesn't
time.
Have to be. Just because they patent something doesn't mean they put it into
practice.
You
are now no longer welcome in the 98 Rock studio.
I mean, it's Forever. Not going to matter when we're all plugged into the damn computer and they're using the biometric energies of our body to turn us into huge-ass batteries.
This is a demo.
Oh, God.
So you're still not... So no apology. Yes.
No.
Should I throw
okay.
them out?
The day will come.
You, the day will come.
Day will come.
Day will come.
Have
every right.
day.
Okay.
You son of a bitch.
You call me on that day and I'll come in again. You know what? And if I ever am shown to be wrong, I would be happy to admit to it. But
you know what? No, we're upping the ante.
There's no proof. There's no one.
Up the ante, Scott.
Not only will it be an apology, we'll have to kiss our bare feet.
Yes. I want kiss. My feet are on my limbs.
No.
Yes.
You heard it here first. You know what? You're going to kiss my bare ass.
Yeah. How about that? How about that? Kiss the ass.
My bare ass.
His bare butt. There.
While your lips are against my ass, you're going to go, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Yes.
Not likely. Yep.
That's it.
Highly
this is what you've
unlikely.
Done.
All right. You've
you
heard
brought
it.
Us to this.
You're going
to
kiss our butts. I have my bottom kissed.